much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Coming up, a very special video presentation called Even My Tongue Is Fat. But right now, to begin with, let's start things off in our telethon with a song.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I believe that the harder you you work, the more you put into it, you're more likely to get out of it, right?
I just needed some babes, man.
His mad ambitions and desires threaten every woman possessing an attractive body. Girls whose measurements make them beauty contest participants. Professional figure models such as this. All are prey to his distorted desires.
I'm sorry.
And now.
Don't you see? Daylight savings is just an imaginary construct.
It's daylight saving. It's not plural.
This is tearing us all apart.
Our feature presentation.
Yes, it's over. It's over. We're done. No more baseball. No more boring baseball until next year. We can start having fun again.
Right?
You can hardly call this World Series boring, by the way. It has been unbelievable. And last night, even crazier than Game 1, almost.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Come on, Kevin.
It's pretty
sweet. I tweeted Kevin last night. I'm like, you're allowed to, like, do-or-die baseball. Turn it on.
Do-or-die helps.
Yeah.
Do-or-die helps. In every sport, it helps. But sure. then is the second half of that baseball?
Still baseball.
Yeah, it's still baseball, but it's still awesome.
Yeah.
The Kansas City Royals are unbelievable to watch. The way they run bases is like no other team I've ever seen in baseball. I mean, it's just incredible. Boy, did they rattle that Mets pitcher last night who could not concentrate for 1 second on the guy he was supposed to be pitching to because he's trying to keep everybody on base.
What do? They just steal more than most or take leads or what?
And they're fast.
Yeah, fast. And they're so fast and they run in situations where you would never imagine somebody running, like in the top of the ninth with no outs. You know what
like,
I mean?
Wait, how's he on second?
Like that would be where you'd think like, all right, we can't afford to get this guy picked off. We better play it safe and just try to advance him with a hit, but they'll steal bases, you know? I mean, they're just great. They really are.
Yes, it's over. It's over. We're done. No more baseball. No more boring baseball until next year. We can start having fun again.
Those kids are happy.
So congratulations to the world champion Kansas City Royals, which are words we haven't heard in many of our listeners' lifetimes. All right, it is Monday, and we do have a big show today. I want to start with this. Pretty serious flooding throughout many parts of the country lately. I don't know if you've been I know you don't watch the news, Kevin, because you're a kid,
right?
But do you pay attention to some of the bad weather that's happening?
Not much, except for the hurricane that was going to hit last week and destroy all of the United States.
Well, that was, fortunately that didn't do as much damage as was feared, but that did create quite a lot of flood conditions in Texas. Texas has really had it bad over the past week. And Austin in particular had crazy, like haven't seen in years kind of flooding. And there was a guy named Kerry Packer who videotaped his car filling up with water and being carried away by a flood. He was trying to, as many people do, they come across a patch of road that has water in it and they go, I can probably just drive through that. And you're always advised. See, here's the thing. The flooding was happening so fast all over parts of South Texas that the police could not get in front of it and put up roadblocks. The police were busy doing other things, you know, rescuing people and whatnot. So they, you know, put the word out. They said, look, if you come across one of these roads where it looks like there's water, don't drive into it because you don't know how deep it was. Well, this dumbass did drive into it. And then he videotaped it and sent the video to his wife, who put it up on Facebook. All right. He also called 911, but he videotaped it. His wife put it up on Facebook to a television station. All right, so the TV station shows the video, and then the anchors come on the TV station and say, hey, that video we showed you of the guy – actually, I may even have that part of tape. Now he's on the phone. So this guy who was involved in the flood with his car calls the television station, okay?
All right.
We just showed you the video. Now we're going to speak to the people in the video. Kerry Packer was involved in that flood we had earlier with the car being filled with water. Kerry's on the phone. What happened there?
All right. Now, the reason I'm playing this tape is not just because this guy's a dumbass who gets his car washed away by a flood. Wait till you hear where he is as he's making the call. All right?
Basically, I was just driving down the road, and there was a little bit, what I thought was a little bit of water, and I just was driving through it like I would, and it swept my car sideways and then almost tipped me over, and thankfully it didn't, and it probably swept me about half a mile into the woods, and as soon as, you know, the car was almost filled with water, I swept past the tree and I jumped out of the window and climbed up a tree. So I'm about 20 feet up a tree right now.
20 feet up a tree. So, needless to say, the television anchors are surprised at KVUE.
Carrie,
wait, you're still in the tree?
I'm about 20 feet up a tree.
What?
Okay, yeah.
Are you okay? I mean, how's your energy? You've been there for quite some time.
By the way, he ended up being in the tree more than 3 hours until he was rescued by authorities.
Wow.
He is okay. But I guess you got nothing else to do up there but do media interviews, right?
Oh,
hanging
I laughed
in a tree.
So hard at that.
Who's his phone service? It sounds great.
Right?
It does. He's also very calm and cool and collected for a guy who I have to think, even if you feel like you're safe up in a tree 20 feet up, I have to feel like you don't know how bad the wind is going to be or how bad the water is going to be. Like, you still are in some danger, right?
I think so, yeah.
He sounds fine, though.
No, I'm fine. I thankfully, there's a nice sturdy tree here, and it's a little cold, but I did Boy Scouts for 20 years, and so I know how to keep my energy up and keep warm, so I'm doing fine.
By the way, it's been a long time since I was a Boy Scout. How do you keep your energy up and keep warm if you're in the top of a tree?
First of all, you were never a Boy Scout.
I sure was.
Wait a minute.
That's something to tackle at a later time.
Hold, please.
I think.
So you were a Boy Scout?
Yes.
With other boys?
Yes.
With the uniform?
Yes.
And the meetings?
Merit badges?
Scouts?
And meetings and Scouts Honor and all that, yeah.
Till what age?
Oh, I don't remember.
Like last year?
I don't remember. I mean, to whatever age you stop being a boy. I mean, I never made Eagle Scout, so I probably got out of it before then. But yeah, I was a Boy Scout. But how do you keep warm and keep your energy up at the top of a tree is my question to you guys.
Who's your scout leader?
What are your options? What are your options at that point?
How to keep warm? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I wasn't a scout, but I don't know how you would keep warm in that situation.
Okay, again, tell us, are there people, do you see some help? Is there someone near where you are?
No, I mean, for as far as I can see around me, there's water. It looks like I'm in the middle of a lake. That's how bad the flooding is here. So I don't know how far I am from the road now, but I would guess about a half a mile, judging on how fast my car was being swept down.
So he just looks around, and it's just like he's in a lake. There's just nothing around it but just
He also doesn't seem that upset about his car.
Mm-mm. No, he doesn't.
You know, it took my car, so all good.
Right. A good station would have periscoped that.
That's true.
Like, sir, I'm going to need you to be our reporter on the scene in a tree.
Well, they did say, you know, they'll double check as they hung up the phone with him. They said, we'll try to get you some help and just hang on in there. And like I said, he was up there for about a little over 3 hours, and then he was brought down. He was fine. But you got to give him – I feel like he's a dumbass for attempting to drive through the water. But you got to give him some style points for how calm, cool, and collected he seemed to be for a guy who was in a really potentially life-threatening kind of situation.
Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's right. What does it.
Yeah.
That's right. That's it.
It's a different kind of man right there.
Be prepared.
Bean was a Boy Scout.
Yeah.
That's my takeaway from that whole conversation.
Yeah. Do you remember any badges, Bean?
No.
Why are you exasperated?
Yeah.
We're just trying to get to know you, Bean.
Because you guys know what my memory is like, and I do not.
Did you get a badge? Or is that why you were run from the Scouts?
I'm sure I got a badge for banging.
What just happened?
Nope.
Wait, is that not a legitimate Boy Scout badge?
No, that's not a badge. I don't think you get a badge for that. Good delivery, though. I like it. Let's talk about today's Kevin and BJ, shall we?
What is it, son? What is it you wish to say?
I wish to say that we're going to talk to Supergirl today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Melissa Benoist. Very excited about that. We're also going to talk to Matt Money Smith, who did the play-by-play on Fox for the Cardinals-Browns game.
Yeah.
And was great.
Yeah.
As you knew he would be.
Yeah, but I also figured that because he I don't know, it was such a different situation. He's doing it on TV. It's maybe two teams that he hasn't followed closely. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just figured, like the rest of us, he might struggle a little.
No. Mm-hmm.
Not a bit.
No.
No. He's pro.
A dick. He was perfect. Drives me crazy. Holly Holm will be in studio today. She, if you don't recognize the name, will be fighting Ronda Rousey in UFC 193. So that's going to go well, right? Kevin Mad Libs, the news on the program today.
Very excited by that.
Leah Remini on 2020.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
I didn't see it. I saw a couple clips. Wow. Stuff.
Why couldn't... Well, first of all, we'll save that, but how is she still alive is my takeaway of the whole thing.
Yeah.
You don't cross Xenu and live to tell about it, do you?
Not for the most part, no.
Nervous.
I don't know. Andrew Siciliano will be on the program today from the NFL Network.
A lot to talk about.
Talking about this past weekend, sure. Beans, Seattle Seahawks won.
Yeah.
Didn't cover the spread, though. Sorry, you guys.
But you won.
Right.
Right.
Technically.
And we've got a special edition of Thanks for That Tweet Bean, and it's called Thanks for That Daylight Savings Tweet Bean.
Standard time.
Thanks for That Standards Time Tweet Bean. Coming up. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
It is Monday morning, and all this week on K-Rock, we are handing out Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Passes, good for a full year at Disneyland Park and Disney California Adventure. Get all the details at KROQ.com. Your chance to win is coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Garman.
How great is this daylight savings time? We get
standard
an extra
time.
And sleep it's in and get a little energy daylight. Before we come in. Woo!
Daylight saving time
I'm
ended over the weekend.
Digging it the most. Big fan Daylight Savings Time. So.
Standard.
Thank
standard
you, time. Ben Franklin, for all you do. That whole key and kite thing, also good work.
Plus, he invented the $100 bill.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Tell us more stories about your banging in the Boy Scouts, Bean. I want to hear you bragging more about how much sex you had while you were in the Boy Scouts. I don't know if that's the badge maybe you want to be put right there on your sash. How you were banging all the other boys in the woods.
I don't have any memory of my childhood, as you know.
Well,
I do
you
know
remember
that
banging boys.
I do that I was a Boy Scout. So when Kevin asked if I won any, you know, earned any merit badges, the first thing I thought of was probably banging. So. That's what I went with. It may not be factually correct.
That's what they do at the Jamboree. All those boys get together. The scout master hands out the condoms and then woo! What comes after part B?
Part A. I don't remember the details of how it exactly worked.
Banging boys, women, whatever. Doesn't matter. Got the badge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Halloween is now over. So now all that's left is to sort through the endless pictures on the internet of celebrities in their Halloween costumes. And some are entertaining, some are laughable, and some are downright terrifying. For example, Justin Bieber dressed as Jackie Moon, Will Ferrell's character from Semi-Pro. Remember the basketball movie?
Yes.
The basketball movie? He had the big
fro.
Did
he do it well?
No.
Oh.
No, it was laughable.
No.
And sad and tragic. And if I was Will, I'd get my lawyers on the phone immediately. Katy Perry dressed as a microphone and then post a picture of herself lying on the ground with the quote, mic drop. See? That's cute. That's funny. Good for you, KP. Then there was the terrifying.
Call her KP?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. We all do. Taylor Swift as Olaf from Frozen. It was terrifying.
Adorbs.
It was terrifying. Because who didn't leave the delightful child's movie Frozen without wanting to bang the snowman with the sexy Olaf costume. But nothing was scarier than Heidi Klum as Jessica Rabbit, a character which will now never be sexy again to me in my lifetime.
That was a frightening costume.
She wanted to look just like the cartoon, so she had her face and body covered in these freakish prosthetics that brought her to the proportions and look of the cartoon.
Okay.
Which, drawn, looks fine. On a human being, looks like something out of American Horror Story on FX. It was grotesque and terrifying, and my penis went inside my body. No, I literally have a vagina. So thanks a lot, Heidi Klum, for all you do. No key and kite for you, Heidi Klum. Hey, it helps to be owned by Disney, I always say. Because Disney's great.
Sure.
But also, they are good with what they call the synergy. Familiar with the synergy?
Yeah, sure. That's where you take one property and reimagine it or redistribute it in another area.
You spread it around. Money. Spread it around to the other area. Give the drummer some.
Right.
Jimmy Kimmel's is the drummer in this case. On November the 23rd, he'll be doing a special Star Wars The Force Awakens show. Director J.J. Abrams, stars Daisy Ridley, Adam Driver, John Boyega will all be on hand as Jimmy and the gang celebrate the new Star Wars movie.
All right.
Wow.
ABC, of course, part of the Disney empire.
That's pretty strong.
Pretty strong. Same thing happened with him in the Avengers film. Remember when the latest Avengers film came out? He had the entire cast on. So he benefits from that association, and he always does a good job with it. So,
Allie, did you see your boyfriend Harrison Ford on Kimmel the other night?
I didn't.
Dressed in a hot dog suit?
What?
Yeah, he came out dressed as a hot dog.
Why?
Because it was Halloween-y. It was Halloween-y show. Yeah. Everybody was dressed up. Jimmy was dressed up as Princess Leia.
What?
You all right?
No.
Yeah, it turns out Harrison Ford is quite insane, which makes for entertaining television.
He was very personable, though, wasn't he?
If by drunk, if personable, you mean drunk. He seemed drunk to me. He did unleash an enormously loud belch on the air, which I thought was really out of character.
Yeah, he was a little looser than we've seen Mr. Ford.
I can't tell you anything. Why would I tell you anything? It's good. J.J. made a good movie. He said over and over again. So
it answered a lot of questions for me as to what was probably going on in that plane crash, too.
Yeah. Glug, 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 right? Who's with me? And this is going to shock you, but Donald Trump is behaving like a little petulant child.
Sit down.
John Oliver told CBS this morning that, you know, a lot of late-night shows are booking Trump onto their show for ratings. That John Oliver, when asked, why hasn't Trump been booked on your show, he said, we haven't yet booked the Donald on my show because I don't really care about him in any capacity, he said, very humorously. Well, once Trump heard that, how do you think that made him feel? Right?
He has to fight every one of those battles.
Yes, he
does.
He's
a loser.
And he tweeted later that day, John Oliver had his people call to ask me to be on his very boring and low-rated show. I said, no thanks. Waste of time and energy. So, it wasn't the case at all. Trump said no, he wouldn't be on his show.
Right.
Poo-poo head.
Sure.
Stinky feet, face, smelly hair boy.
They're losers. They're just losers.
That's right. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Nelly, 41 years old today. David Schwimmer. Ross Forever from Friends. Now a successful director and producer and occasional actor. 49 years old today. And ring announcer Michael Buffer, 71 years old today. So let. Oh, wait a minute! I can't say that. No, because you'll get sued if you do it.
Yeah,
and then you have to pay a lot of money. So let's not. I'll say that instead. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. First, though, Friday night, Leah Remini took her life into her own hands and sat down in front of a television camera on ABC's 2020. She was a Scientologist from the time she was 7 years old, Kevin. Did you realize that?
I did not, no.
Yep, her parents were way into it, and she talked a lot about it. And, of course, she very famously left the church a couple of years ago, and she sat down with Dan Harris. Here's how the interview began.
What an interview you're about to see with a book title that speaks volumes. Leah Remini's Troublemaker, Surviving Hollywood and Scientology. Her explosive new memoir about her 30-plus years in that controversial religion.
She's already setting off shockwaves on social media, church officials saying she's rewriting history, making up stories to sell this new book. Tonight, what very few people outside the church ever get to see.
By the way, I have no idea who's telling the truth in these situations, but it is interesting to me that every single time somebody speaks out against Scientology, the church always says that they're making it up, that they're lying, that they're rewriting history, that it didn't happen, and we categorically deny it, and blah, 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 blah. No one has ever told the truth that has left Scientology?
Apparently not, Bean.
That's how they would have you believe. So when Leah is a little kid, she joins an organization called the Sea Org. And this is basically you live at Scientology headquarters. In this case, she was in Florida, and then she did the same thing later on in Hollywood, where you go and it's like a school and you learn Scientology. That's what you do all day long. They put the little kids to work and you live and eat and work all in the Scientology building. And there's one tidbit of that arrangement that I was unfamiliar with until this interview.
They provide room and board and you work there and you sign a billion-year contract.
A billion-year contract.
Correct.
You, as a child, signed this contract.
Correct.
Here it is in writing. Scientologists believe in reincarnation, and Sea Org members are expected to keep working every time they come back.
That is a heavy responsibility. A billion-year contract you signed with the church when you become a Sea Org.
That's so weird, because you would think people's response to that would be, that's stupid.
Yes. And that came up a lot during the interview, which is, and then you didn't leave, and
right.
When you found out that you didn't leave, but you know, it is beaten into your brain that if you leave behind all of your friends, and in many cases, all of your family, if the whole family's in Scientology, because as you know, Kevin, you're not allowed to associate with people once they leave the church.
Can't contact
right?
them in any way.
In any way, right, which is one of the craziest things about the church, right? All right, so she stays with Scientology, years go by, and then things are looking up as she starts to meet, you know, the people near the top of the chain.
That same year, Leah says she made an important new friend through the church, the world's most famous Scientologist, Tom Cruise. Leah says her exposure to Cruise, this is them hugging at a movie premiere, opened her eyes to his vast influence within the church. An influence, she says, was exemplified by a call she got one night from a church official.
Tom wants you to come over and teach him salsa dance.
Teach you what?
Teach salsa dancing.
Salsa dancing.
That's the kind of call you get when you're high enough up in Scientology, is that Tom Cruise wants you to teach him how to salsa dance. Now, something happened that night over at Tom Cruise's house that kind of started to change her mind a little bit about being involved in Scientology at all.
She says two high-ranking Scientology officials were there with Tom at his home, and so was his new girlfriend, Katie Holmes.
He was, like, forcibly kissing Katie. You know, I said, hey, get a friggin' room. And, I was written up for that, and I had to go into session for it.
That's right. She says one of those officials essentially tattled on her. Remini says it's a common practice. Church members regularly write what are called knowledge reports on one another for breaking rules. She says the accused then have to answer those allegations in auditing sessions.
Does it create an atmosphere of mistrust?
You can assume if you say something that is critical to the church, you will be written up. Husband, wife, mother, daughter, it's what the group does to regulate itself.
Had you guys heard about this before?
No.
No, getting written up? No.
Yeah, this part where you get written up. If you say something against somebody in the church, you get a warning, and then they basically put you on trial, and they audit you, and then they send you off and make you take classes to kind of repent and make you publicly apologize for it. So Leah was a bad girl, and she asked a lot of questions throughout her time in Scientology, particularly in the last 10 years or so. And there were a couple of different times where she kind of went through this process where they whacked her pee-pee. And now she's getting in trouble after the wedding of Tom Cruise, where she started asking questions about where David Miscavige, the leader of the church, where his wife was. Remember, Allie, I'm sure you followed this story, that his wife just vanished.
Yeah, like, no one had heard from her for a very long time.
It was a couple years, right?
Yeah.
So she, at one point, filed a missing persons report with the police, and the police investigated, or so they said, and they came to Leah, and they said, we talked to her, and she's fine. But she still hasn't been seen in public, as far as I know. And Leah was very concerned about what that is all about. Well, anyway, she gets in lots of trouble with the church, and then they send her to Florida for more of this training.
Leah says she continued to hang out with Cruise, but did not hesitate to speak up when she thought he was damaging the church in the public view.
I'm saying, I don't think he's becoming of a Scientologist, jumping on couches and attacking Matt Lauer.
Not against
Matt,
her will, though.
Matt, this wasn't against your question.
You don't know the history of psychiatry. I do.
And attacking Brooke Shields.
The thing that I'm saying about Brooke is that there's misinformation.
What the hell is this guy doing? We need to rein it in. We need to stop all this. And he just needs to be an actor. Like, he needs to... Okay? I was immediately dealt with.
So she was dealt with, and she went through, and again, she still hasn't left the church, but she still keeps having to apologize for all of her mistakes, and she goes higher and higher up, which, by the way, means she spends thousands and thousands, and in some cases, millions of dollars. She donated over $2.5 million to Scientology.
Wow. Wow.
So she gets to a high enough level, and I can't remember all the categories, like Theta 3 or something like that, where she finally gets high enough to learn the deal about Xenu. And this is maybe one of the greatest explanations of Xenu that I've ever heard. Because it's always been, the concept's always been a little bit fuzzy for me, but I think Leah brings it home for me in this piece.
There was some galactic confederation, there was a war, and there was a volcano, and they bodied, you know, they took the spirits of people, and they encased them into something, into a volcano, blew them up, and then those spirits are now inside of you, on you, in you.
Makes a lot of sense to me.
By the way, that's what they believe.
That's what they
that's
believe.
That's true.
I don't know to that them. That's I mean, to them much crazier than many other religions.
Yeah,
either,
let's be honest. Let's be honest on that one.
I mean,
there are
a lot of religions.
You're like, what?
Yeah, if you're hearing about any religion for the first time and you start hearing stories about space Jesus or whatever the people you're talking to believe, it does sound a little far out. But Dan Harris from 2020 is asking Leah, all right, after you heard all the Xenu news, then what?
Like you are made up of these things.
When you read that, did you think this is true?
When I read that, I said, this is some crazy.
So you thought it was crazy, and you're laughing about it now, but you stayed in the church and kept moving your way up the bridge. So
right. Again, not ready to walk away. I've worked this hard to get there.
But that wasn't enough to convince you that maybe something was...
So what am I doing? I'm leaving. I'm walking away from my mother. I'm leaving my mother. I'm never talking to my mother again.
The church would not talk about its advanced scriptures, but told ABC News that it is not unusual for a religion to have confidential scriptures and practices.
By the way, isn't it very unusual for religion to have confidential scriptures?
Yeah, I feel like it's 100%.
Can't anyone buy and read the Bible?
Yeah.
Can't anyone buy and read the Quran?
Yes.
I thought so, too. Well, long story short, eventually it got to the point where Leah realized, well, it depends on who you believe. She says she left the church. The church says she was asked to leave. And her biggest concern, of course, was losing her family. Her entire family left Scientology with her.
Oh, wow.
Her mother, who had been in it her entire life, her brothers, her sisters, everybody left the church. And, of course, she still isn't able to, you know, be in contact with lots of other people in the church that she was very good friends with for a long time. And it won't surprise you that this was Scientology's last statement to ABC News before the interview aired.
And Scientology giving us this final comment, quote, "We are very happy that Ms. Remini is no longer in the church."
I was just so surprised that you couldn't see, like, the little laser pointer on her forehead during the interview. She's able to walk out of there alive.
Maybe that's why she's doing all these. Like, you guys, seriously, let me tell you about it. So if I come up missing...
To make sure, yeah.
Look at all this stuff.
Well, anyway, the book comes out Tuesday if you want to read more about it. It does sound fascinating. I mean, considering how long Scientology has been around and how many people have been involved with it, very little has gotten out. You know, in terms of what really goes on, in terms of.
But I feel like enough to know that it's just a straight money grab cult.
It does. It certainly seems that way. And that was Kevin who said that. Kevin Wright
at
krock.com.
Bean at krock. I can't believe he would say that.
TMZ.com. Our friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom joins us every Monday morning at this time on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys.
What were you wearing on Friday's show during the meeting? What was that costume, sir?
Yeah, maybe it wasn't my best. I was a cup holding a glass of me.
Oh, that's why. Okay, so that's why you had the little figurine, the Harvey Levin figurine made.
With the straw up its ass.
With the straw up its ass, right, exactly.
What's happening?
there were some great costumes in your newsroom, but at first I thought you were SpongeBob, and then I was confused, and then you're right, it did sort of look like a cup, but now I totally get it, now that you connect it with what you were drinking out of. Okay.
Yeah, but when you have to explain it, it's not a costume.
It was a fun Halloween show anyway. Speaking of Halloween, what do you have to tell us about on TMZ.com over the weekend? I'm sure the celebrity's gotten some sort of trouble based on Halloween, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah, there was just a ton of stuff. You know, Nicki Minaj, actually, I don't know if you guys saw this. She got some heat for this. She reposted this Cosby costume where a guy is basically groping an unconscious woman who's holding a drink and Cosby's holding a bottle of pills. And she wrote on it, which I thought was kind of interesting, Where is this?
There's something about our generation being desensitized,
yeah,
right? Was that
generation
it?
Is our generation desensitized. And, you know, and I think what she was saying is our generation is so desensitized. So I think what she was saying was, God, how can people do this? And people were more taking it as she thought it was funny. So I don't know. I guess they just didn't read what she wrote, but mm-hmm. she seemed upset with it. So I get why she would post it if she was upset, but yeah. I don't think people quite understood it, just now, the way you didn't understand my comment.
Yeah, Harvey, you don't seem like a politically correct guy. I suspect that you, like us, believe that Halloween is a time to put distasteful costumes out, right? I mean, have fun with it.
I hate to say it, but Peter Cottontail is for kids. I mean, if adults are going to dress up, don't dress up like a Disney character. Do something funny.
And it doesn't mean that you condone rape. It doesn't mean that you're pro Bill Cosby. It just means you're making a topical costume for 2015. I think it's fine.
There are lines, and they have been occasionally crossed in our newsroom for Halloween,
right?
And I don't want to mention one of them because it was so bad. Mm-hmm. But we had a guy dressed as casual Hitler in a Hawaiian shirt on Friday.
Casual Hitler is funny. part of what people go for with their costumes is offensive. That's part of the goal.
Yeah, and it's like what's in the news and what's kind of out there. And
what's scary. The problem that we're having is, like you said, there are lines. What's offensive to you, Harvey, might not be offensive to the next guy. And what might, horrify him, you might be fine with. I mean, that's the problem, is not everybody has the same sense of, decorum.
Do you know what's really weird when you think about it? There's been this thing that's happened in the last 3 or 4 years. It used to be that people were more tolerant of people kind of expressing themselves and doing kind of out there things. And it feels like now there's this kind of political correctness police.
Oh, yeah, it's gone crazy.
They're just trying to kill everybody.
Yep, 100%.
And it's the weirdest thing, and it feels like it's just been happening kind of recently.
I agree.
Like everybody's trying to kill everybody else.
There was a guy over the weekend that I saw online who dressed up as that motorist on the 5 freeway who got thrown from his car and ended up on that sign at Colorado Avenue. You know the one I'm talking about, Harvey.
Right, right, right.
And he had a sheet on him, and he had a big sign that looked like it was on the 5, a big freeway behind him. And a lot of people were like, dude, too soon. That just happened on Friday. What's your ruling on that?
God, I don't know. That one feels – I think it has to settle a little bit before people do that, and it really was kind of fresh. That wouldn't be on my hit parade list for sure.
Right.
I mean,
and
it's weird. I mean, I don't.
But
think
casual Hitler, you're fine with. That's good.
Well, I mean, it's just so absurd. You know what
and
I mean?
It's also been 70
yes,
years too, though, right?
Mel Brooks did Springtime for Hitler, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Right. I mean, look, it's a much larger discussion than we're going to tackle here, but I do think it's interesting, and I do think that people ought to give you a little bit of a pass to do something that's offensive to some on Halloween. I think that's part of what the holiday is about. It's supposed to be scary. It's supposed to be fun. Let it be those things.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, I've just been kind of watching everything happen in the last year or so, and I think Ben Carson actually talked about it, where everybody's trying to kill everybody in social media, and it's just like you just take anything anybody does, and it just becomes a nuclear war.
I do feel like your response was just to look at it and go, well, that's not for me. That's
right.
That kind of response is gone, and it's a shame.
Yeah, it's now it's like, it's just destroying the person.
Right. All right. We're almost out of time, but let's take 1 minute before you get to your meeting, Harvey, just because I am fascinated with what you think is going on with the Scarlett Johansson at Disney World story, because I think it's a funny story.
I don't know what's going on. I mean, this is so weird. So there's this family that goes to Disney World last Thursday, and they are on the Tower of Terror ride. And so they have this thing where you go on the ride, and then everybody can, afterwards you can go look at the pictures that the park took, and you can buy the pictures if you want. So the family goes over and they say, we want to buy these pictures. Well, they were on the same ride with Scarlett Johansson. So they say the pictures are not available. We don't really have them. And they're saying, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. You guys take these pictures and everybody else is getting pictures. And so the family says they went to a half dozen employees there. And they kind of made a fuss about it and said, are you doing this because Scarlett Johansson was on the ride? And they're just not getting a straight answer. And then finally, the park sends them an email with a photo. And it is weird. And it's like there have been other pictures where there have been celebrities that have been on rides and they come out the way everything else does. I have no idea what happened. It's just the weirdest thing. They got Disney World, at least according to the family, was just really aggressive about trying to give them the runaround so they wouldn't get these pictures.
Maybe Scarlett was doing Flash Mountain. Right?
And is it possible that the celebrities...
Scarlett's just having fun. Scarlett's
yeah,
having
but
fun.
That's what I'm saying.
Is it possible that she feels like, hey, if I'm in this photo, that family's going to be able to sell it and they shouldn't be allowed to because it's my copyrighted image or something like that? Is
then
it possible?
Don't go to Disneyland. Don't go out in public.
Yeah, I don't
stay
get that.
Inside.
But again, I have no idea whether she asked the park not to sell it or not. The park never really said. They just said, it's not available, it's not available, it's not there, it doesn't exist. This is according to the family, and then all of a sudden, boom, they get an email.
Got an email.
Well, I prefer to think that Scarlett Johansson did nothing wrong because she's perfect. That's how I look at it.
All right. TMZ.com is where you want to go, obviously. TMZ airs on Fox throughout the day on Channel 11 and TMZ Live, Monday through Friday at 4, also on Channel 11. Look for TMZ Hollywood Sports on The Reels channel. Harvey, good luck with your costume for next year. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Okay, guys.
Bye now. I love them so much. Is that Death Cab?
Yep.
That should be Kevin's theme song. I don't know why. We'll put that on a t-shirt for him.
Hey, welcome to Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday morning. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network next hour. Holly Holm is in studio talking UFC 193. She'll be leaving for Australia here pretty soon to go fight Ronda Rousey. Also, Melissa Benoist, that girl who plays Supergirl, will be joining us too. That's all coming up on K-Rock.
What's her name?
I'm sorry, what's her name? Melissa Benoist.
There you go.
Is that close?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Took a little time, Strokey, but you got there. God bless.
Friday, we were talking about something after the show that Allie and I found delightful. And the Grinches in the room, Kevin and Ralph, thought was stupid. It's stupid.
I'm not buying it.
And that is, it has often been said that every person on Earth, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I want to believe it's true, every person on Earth has an exact doppelganger. A person that looks like your twin is out there. You just have to find that person.
Wait, do you think that's true of everybody?
No, I think it's true of a lot of
some people. Okay.
But let's face it, most of us will never meet most of the people in the world, so we won't have them. And that's why I was excited to find out that there is a website called Twin Strangers where you can go on, upload a photo, give some information, and try to find the person in the world that looks just like you. Now, why wouldn't you want to find that person?
Because who cares?
All right, let's follow this through. So you find that person, Bean, and you get his email or phone number or something. Then you call him.
Uh-huh.
And you said, hey, you look just like me. And he goes, you look just like me.
All right, see ya.
And then you go, how's it going? And
so
he goes,
that
fine.
Happened.
And then you're out. There's nowhere to go from there.
I feel like it would be super fun to hang out with that person. I feel like there would be hilarity would ensue if you were able to hang out with your twin.
Because you look alike?
Yes,
so
because you look
that
alike.
That would be fun.
All right. Here's how
that person's going to be great. A good time. It's just because they look like you.
You know, Bean and all the pranks he would pull if that was the case.
Sure. Well, he can't stop with all his punking.
Here's the – and by the way, before we talk about why this is in the news at all, Allie, your thoughts, please.
I think it's delightful to be able to sit across from someone that looks just like you, have a beer, and be like, wow.
Oh, the height of narcissism. What could be better?
It's not narcissism. It's just – fun. Can't
it's
something
just
fun. Be fun?
But
right.
It doesn't have to be deeper than that.
There's tons of fun in my life.
Name
I need
three
to go on
things.
A website and hunt down someone who looks like me so I can spend time with them. Oh, yeah, I can't forget why I can't do that. Oh, I have a life.
But you can have a life that could also include a twin.
Who gives a rat's ass?
Hey, Bean, it isn't a twin, though.
Right.
But it might as well be if it looks
no,
that much like you.
It's not a
all
twin.
Right.
That would involve a family connection.
So here's why this is in the news. There's a photo that went crazy at the end of last week online of a guy who gets on a plane. I think he's leaving from London and he's flying on Ryanair to Ireland. He sits down on the flight and the guy who's in the seat next to him looks like his identical twin. I mean, crazy doppelganger.
Right.
And Kevin, you saw the photo and you said,
not buying it. I'm just not buying it.
Well, that's a whole new level.
I'm not buying it.
Everybody in this room is nuts. So that's a whole new level of
so
weird.
So there's a doppelganger. What are the chances you're ever going to meet them, let alone be on the same flight, let alone sit next to each other?
Of course, it's a crazy coincidence.
Not buying it.
You don't believe it's real?
Not buy it.
It happened. It's real.
You don't know that it happened just because it's on this piece of paper? I'm not buying it.
Oh, so the photograph is doctored?
Sure.
What are you, some kind of conspiracy theorist? Two guys run a plane look alike. How can you not buy that? But how is this, that the height of conspiracy?
But this alike, that much
right.
alike.
Wow. Okay. That's, you know what it is? That's
not
a,
buying it.
That's a huh. Okay. And then you move on. It's not a, oh, I don't buy it, or a, oh, it'd be amazingly fun. It's neither of those.
Ooh, heat's off us, Bean.
Kevin, what do you think is happening here? What do you think is happening here if this isn't just a crazy coincidence that two guys who look identical sat down next to each other on a plane? Tell me what your alternate theory is.
Brothers and or friends want to get their picture out and get it to go viral. So they just say, hey, we randomly met. Why is that so out of...
Because,
why is that not a possibility?
Because it's a vast conspiracy. What's the upside for them? What do they get other
they
than
get
having
the
their
fame
picture
of
on
having
the internet?
Their picture, you know, passed around and become sort of internet famous. A lot of people are into that. A lot of people do
You're
that.
So weird. So
that's where they so go. They go to the effort of that rather than just happening. It's more likely in your mind that two guys got together and plotted this out and spent all the time and energy putting that together. That's more likely in your opinion.
About 50% of the time when I get yelled at for this, it turns out to be not true, by the way. I'm right about half the time when I'm
Kevin.
Talking
So because
like this.
You're right other times, you're saying you're right this
I'm
time.
I'm saying there's a possibility. Absolutely.
Kevin, there's no possibility.
What if they run the website?
Oh, what if it's youthfaders.com?
All right.
Allie,
what if you think it'd be amazingly fun to sit across from the table and have a beer with someone who looks just like them?
Allie, you went on Twin Strangers to find your twin. How'd it go?
I did. I made an account, even, where you upload two pictures, but then it gets weird because you don't get...
Oh, then it gets weird.
That's when it gets weird?
Right. Not
you
that you took the time to do it.
You don't get matched according to your picture. You have to answer questions about your face shape. You pick which face shape. I have a longer face. Click. What are your lips like? Do
Wait,
you have
don't
a
you
Cupid's
just put up
bow? No.
You
that's
don't put up
the,
a picture at all.
No, you put up... you do. You put up two pictures, but then it takes you through these questions. Face shape, lips, eyes, and you
so
have
I
to
would
click
say
on
see
that.
Picture, see picture.
That's what I thought. So then you get through all that, and then all of a sudden it goes, okay, boom, and all these pictures start appearing, and you click on whether it's a match or not a match. I don't know if I think I have a different face shape, eye shape, and lip shape than I really do, because these people look nothing like me.
Well, now that you explain it, it doesn't sound like a waste of time at all. Now that you've told me all the steps you go through, this seems like a worthwhile endeavor. Congratulations to you.
Allie, I hope you find your doppelganger.
Bean, did you put a picture up?
I haven't done it yet.
Will
I
you
very,
please?
I had a very
you did
busy
not
weekend.
Have a busy weekend.
I did, well, it's my busiest weekend, as you know.
Yeah. Of course he didn't. Because I didn't it's do just that. All, wouldn't it be nice if it Bean planned?
It would be awesome.
Wouldn't it be exciting and fun if, but there's never any excitement and there's never any fun because nothing ever gets done. It's just a world of wishing. It just lives in a world of wishing.
I might go on the website. I might also yeah. just take a flight somewhere
You're
and
not.
See if the guy is sitting next to me looks exactly
just
like me.
Fly around the world waiting for your guy who looks like you to sit next to you.
You don't know, man.
Or you could just watch an episode of The Munsters and go, boom, it's me and Fred.
Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Ralph Garman remix. I like it. All right, time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning. Kevin and Bean Show, what's going on?
It is a Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Lackluster box office, as it is most Halloween weekends, because a lot of people are partying and trick-or-treating and don't have time to hit the theaters. So The Martian, yet again, was number one at the box office with just $11 million. Made it so. Goosebumps, second, with $10.2 million, understandably. That the kids' scare fest would come in at number two. Bridge of Spies was third. Hotel Transylvania 2 was fourth. Then Burnt, the new Bradley Cooper movie about cooking, came in at number five with just $5 million in its debut. Did not do very well at the box office. Hmm. Interesting articles over the weekend I saw about the history and potential future of the Passion Project. Both this film, Burnt, and Our Brand is in Crisis, with Sandra Bullock, which debuted at number 8 with just $3.4 million. saying that sometimes projects that actors feel passionately about, like both of these films had, do not fare well at the box office because we live in a world of high-quality television movies on HBO and other outlets like Hulu and Netflix and stuff. So fare like that. Smaller films that are passion projects for these performers might fare better on those outlets rather than putting them in the theaters. You have to be in sort of a big movie now to compete.
This weekend, Ralph, I saw a headline said it was one of the lowest box office generating weekends in history, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a disaster for Hollywood.
Yep.
Kevin, tell Ralph what you went to see this weekend.
Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse.
All righty.
Ralph has no follow-up questions, and that's fine.
I don't think there really needs to be any questions. I think that speaks for itself right there.
Prosecution rests.
Last Witch Hunter is sixth, then Paranormal Activity Ghost Dimension at number seven. Our Brand is Crisis, as I mentioned, came in at number eight. Crimson Peak and Steve Jobs were your top 10 movies at the box office. Speaking of Our Brand is Crisis, Billy Bob Thornton, one of the stars of that film, rushed to the hospital last Friday morning after a car crash in West Hollywood. He was complaining of a head injury. He was taken to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, where apparently he was checked out and given the all clear and returned to work later that day. So he's a stud. Taylor Swift is in the news, proving again that she is the worst person ever. New York Daily News says she is now being sued for $42 million.
I hope they win.
By R&B artist Jesse Graham, suing her because he claims that she stole the chorus from her song Shake It Off from his song Haters Gonna Hate, which includes the line, Haters Gonna Hate, 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 Players Gonna Play, Play, Play. Jesse said originally he contacted Taylor Swift's people and all he wanted was a co-writer's credit on the song and a selfie with Taylor Swift. That's all he wanted. Her team said no, so now he has filed the $42 million lawsuit. I pulled a little audio from Jesse's song, Haters Gonna Hate, and look, there's no denying it. You listen to this, it sounds exactly like Shake It Off. There's no way the jury will not award him the money.
Haters gonna hate, haters gonna hate, players gonna play, haters gonna hate.
All right, maybe not.
And the prosecution, once again, rest.
Maybe not exactly. Maybe he should have just not
listened to his
maybe,
own song.
Maybe he should have just not filed that lawsuit. He says there's no way she could have made up that chorus on her own. Because no one else has ever said haters going to hate.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Didn't that an expression has been around a long time.
No, it hasn't. Jesse Graham did it. First song his.
Guilty.
Margaret Cho realizes people weren't talking about her much, so she revealed a secret about her past. She tweeted that she used to be a sex worker. She said she had power and money as a sex worker, and she was not exploited. She said the ladies she knew that she worked with were tough and proud, and it's unfair that the sex worker industry isn't protected by law enforcement or unions. Which begs the question, someone paid to have sex with Margaret Cho? Who... What? Who's that guy? And or woman? And or... what happened to them? That they're gonna... Margaret Cho?
Seems unlikely. Not buying it.
In this case, Kevin, your skepticism, I think, is well-founded. And look, if I got a couple $100, right? Margaret Cho?
No.
I'm just going to buy myself some sort of propofol or something and just take a nap. I'm just going to... Time better spent. And this is good news for everyone. Who's with me?
We don't know the news yet.
Oh, that's right. Cameo's coming back.
Cameo?
Cameo!
I was not aware they had broken up.
Well, they had. They're going to get back together again for the Soul Train Music Awards on BET.
That's still on?
How dare you, sir, you racist bastard. Larry Blackman and the band, which got together more than 40 years ago, is going to perform together again on the Soul Train Music Awards. Give me a little word up.
No romance, no romance. No romance for me, mama. Come on, baby, tell me what's the word up.
don't care.
I think Omar should sue for them ripping off his Internet Roundup theme.
Right?
That sounds an awful lot like his work.
The chances of that.
Meanwhile, Cameo is beginning a residency at the Westgate Cabaret inside the old Las Vegas Hilton Hotel in January. Coming this January, you can see Cameo.
Well,
they're going to be there for 42 weeks.
No, they're not.
It's a lot of Cameo.
42 weeks?
What does that say? What does that number say right
there?
That
says 42 weeks.
42 weeks of Cameo. I'm going every week.
Wow.
Once a week for 42 weeks. That's 42 Cameo shows.
You see them all?
Those of you doing the math at home.
What are the Soul Train Awards, Ralph?
Word up. I don't know when the Soul Train Awards are. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I do. November 29th on BET.
Soul Train. Soul Train.
Hey, Duane.
Da 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 da. Soul Train. Soul Train. Da 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 da
da da da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da
da da da
da da
da da. Today's celebrity birthdays, Nelly's 41, David Schwimmer's 49, and Michael Buffer, the ring announcer with the trademarked line that no one can say because you will be sued, is 71 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman to walk the showbiz beat.
Win your way into Disneyland with a Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Pass, good for a full year at the park, and Disney California Adventure as well. We got that coming up this morning on the Kevin Amin Show. Andrew Siciliano talks the NFL weekend, and Holly Holm, UFC 193, is only a couple weeks away. She'll be joining us in studio as well. Hey, Kevin's wife, Melissa.
Hey, Beans, K-Rock.
Is it?
I don't know. What am I supposed to say?
It really has been 23 years since you and the monkey started Friends and Helpers at friendsandhelpers.org.
It really has been.
23 years in a row, you've come in here and you said, all right, seriously, help us out. We
seriously,
got ladies that need it.
Ladies, kids, boys, you name it, I got it all.
Are you astonished? I mean, of course, you know, you're committed to this, and I know you work year-round on this, but are you astonished at how many people you've been able to help over the years?
I am, but I'm more astonished by the kindness of others, and I'm so grateful. And I come in here, and my phones go crazy, and I'm just – it amazes me how nice people are.
Yeah.
Including
yeah.
you.
When people are asked to help – I'm going to ignore that. When people are asked to help and it's for a good cause, they usually do. Tell the kids listening who may be hearing about the Friends and Helpers for the first time what the holiday program is all about.
Okay, the Friends and Helper holiday program really basically provides holiday to people who would have nothing. They wouldn't have a single toy. They wouldn't have food for Christmas. Our adoptive family program means that a family will have a Christmas. Without us, they have nothing. And due to my poor decision making, we are doing triple what we've ever done before.
Yeah.
I can't say
no. That's an odd choice.
I know. Kevin's been talking to me about it, but
last year almost killed her. So then this year she's like, let's triple it.
Now, what does that mean, triple? Meaning you're going to try to get three times as much stuff this year for families?
Yeah.
Help three times as many people. Yeah.
We are. But you know what? Here's the thing. If that many people need our help, then we need to step up. And we've got to do it. And everybody might have a little something that they can help out with. Maybe they can buy a toy. Go on our website, adopt a stocking. Adopt a women's bag. Buy a gift card. If you go on our website, it shows all of our events. We're doing a great promotion with the Kings. You get to meet players, including Luke Robitaille and other players. We're doing some major stuff.
And for those of you that aren't aware of it, it's for domestic abuse. And
yes.
Domestic abuse victims a lot of times have to sort of run in the middle of the night. They take their kids. They take nothing else. They don't have a way of really supporting
themselves.
They don't
have a toothbrush. They have nothing. But the people that we deal with, I really want to point out, are getting therapy, are getting job training, and they get no government funding. And 100% of what Kevin and I do with this foundation goes to the cause. Kevin and I cover the other costs. So I think that's really important to know. 100% of what you give goes to what we do.
What kind of stories have you heard, Melissa, over the years from families that you have helped who have then come back to you at some point later and said, hey, you guys really got us on our feet when we had nowhere else to go?
You know, that's the part that's really amazing is having done it for so many years, we hear from people who said, you know, you were the reason we had – and it's not me. It's you. I speak to the collective you. Thanks to you guys – we got Christmas presents when we didn't think we had anything. We knew people loved us and cared about us. And that gave us the energy to keep going. We got to sit with our peer groups and have snacks. And we didn't feel like we didn't, that we felt like we fit in. That's the reason that I make decisions like doing triple at Christmas. We've had such positive feedback. And we live in a town where people get so much. And we're so blessed that, you know what, that we can all do something. And, you know, it's such a wonderful feeling to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the cool things is that we actually get each family to fill out what they want for Christmas, so that if you adopt a family, you know that the person's name is, you know how old they are, you know what they want for Christmas, and you can literally provide what they want. And then instead of, you know, us having a party for them or something, we give the gifts to the moms so that the moms can give their kids.
But we also, I want to acknowledge, this is really important. Some families don't have a mom. We've got 23-year-old day babies, and we've got 80-year-old people. We have people with no moms. We've got people with moms. We have people with guardians. We've got kids on their own. We've got everything.
Kevin, how many Paul Blart Mall Cop DVDs are you looking for this Christmas for the people
on
your list?
You know what? If that's what you want to give me, I'll take them. If you're a company and you want to reach out to me, talk to me. If you want to do team building, talk to me. And people are always surprised. They call the office and I answer. Yeah, I'm there all the time, 20 hours a day. But I have a great team as well. We have great volunteers. We are working hard and, you know, you might say I can only donate this, but that's going to help us get there.
Yeah, it all adds up. And strength in numbers is what it is.
Thank you, Bean. Strength in numbers. And if you go on our website, everything is there. We have our flyer. We can get it to you in a minute. We're very quick to respond. Our adoptive family, we're kind of tripping out. We've got so many people who need help.
Yeah.
We're doing 5,000 stockings. We're doing thousands and thousands of women's bags and now boy bags, which are greatly needed.
This is friendsandhelpers.org, by the way. We're talking to Kevin's wife, Melissa, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We also, if you can't remember the name of the organization, we have that linked from all the K-Rock and Kevin and Bean social media as well. So there are lots of different ways to help. Of course, you can make a donation. Like you say, you can make a cash donation on the website if you want, or you can the cash is great. You can drop by with stuff, with gift cards, that type of thing, toys. But what I think is also worth mentioning, Melissa, especially since you're doing so many more events this year than usual, is even people who have no money can still donate time. They can still help put these you know, wrap these presents and put these things together and help deliver these things and do. And you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, what, 6, 7 events coming up this season?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad planning, right?
Okay, let's get off the bad planning and talk about the positive. The positive is that, like, we need toys. You can go buy a Lego set and know that a kid's going to have a nice toy at Christmas. That's all they're going to have. You're at the market getting your groceries, buy a couple of gift cards. There's so many ways to do it. Or right now you're listening to Kevin and Bean. That's your bad planning. Go online right now and make a donation. There's so many ways you can help us.
What about someone like Allie who's still living in her car as an adult with a job?
Can you get her off the street? I'll help Allie. But Allie is one of the first donations I always get.
Aww. Well, and the thing, too, with when I donated, I looked at the stockings, I looked at all the different things, and then I thought, couldn't money probably just be better so you could determine where it goes? Is that something you'd prefer?
We love money.
Okay.
Look, it's one of those things where for most charities, it's just sort of a giant corporation where you give money and you just sort of hope.
Right.
But we do actually use 100% of the money that comes in for the people that actually need it.
And
I'd like to point out the IRS rules. They only force us to give 5% away. We could eat up 95% in overhead, which is criminal to me.
Yeah.
But we give 100%.
And also, when you make a donation to Friends and Helpers, we are a 501c3. You will get your tax receipt. What you're doing will affect change. I know you hear that a lot from everybody, from global warming to everything else. It will affect change. What you do will have a direct response to a person.
It's almost 100% local, too, from all the shelters around Southern
California. Yeah, and by the way, there's one right near your house. You would be surprised. And we've got hungry people. We've got everything. And we really are going to be – we're going to be everywhere. You're not going to be able to get away from us. And I want to just give a shout-out to the L.A. Kings. We are going to have Luke Robitaille and other players there. So, and we have to get 2,000 nice toys. That's keeping me up at night. We've got a lot to get done, and okay. I've got 30 days to do it.
That King's event is December 2nd, by the way. It's going to be at the King's practice facility. But you're also, as you mentioned, all over the place in Fullerton, in North Hollywood, in Covina, Irvine, Tarzana. You're really blanketing the Southland this year. So all those live events, you can find all those at friendsandhelpers.org. You can also find the other ways that you can donate. And you can call Melissa if you've got any questions or you got something,
call me up.
Like you say, you hear from a lot of companies who are willing to donate trucks or willing to donate whatever to help you move things.
We have trucks from our wonderful friends at Galpin, but let's say you're a company that has things you want to do for us, help us with our women's bags, our boys' bags, or you want to just, adopt a bunch of families, you need help doing that, we'll help you figure it out.
There's a lot of companies that match stuff, too. If you're giving to a charity, yeah, They'll match whatever you give.
It's a good deal. It's legit, you guys. Friendsandhelpers.org, and if you can't remember that again, just go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com. Melissa, keep us posted. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hey. Oh, my God. I'm so excited that Sunday is daylight savings.
Nope. Daylight saving time ended. Standard time now. Come on.
Time. So excited. Can't wait.
All right. See, this past weekend was rough for me, you guys.
First for you.
Yes, rough for me.
It was rough for Chip.
It was really rough for Chip. First of all, you got all the people dressing up their pets in Halloween costumes, which I hate. Then you've got all the hate for candy corn, which I love.
Don't try and muddy the waters with these other things.
Yeah. And then you've got all the people who insist on calling it daylight savings instead of the correct daylight saving time and insist on talking about how daylight saving time is starting when it's in fact ending because now we're on standard time. There were many people with misinformation online over the weekend, and I need to take care of it.
Yes, thank God you spent all those hours correcting people on Twitter.
You did have an extra hour.
Here's the weird thing about Bean is that the smaller the item, the more intense his focus is.
Right.
So this is nonsense.
The more meaningless it is, right, the more passionately he cares about it.
I take it very seriously. Look, here's what I say. Particularly when it comes to news organizations like freaking newspapers, they ought to know what's right and what's wrong. They ought to be able to get it right. I, as the reader, should not be correcting them on how to write.
I love it when you get self-righteous, too, and you go, you should know.
Well, they
better.
Should
the
know.
Best. This is prime dick season.
So, don't they have
really?
An editor?
Like some people say it's the Halloween season or Christmas season's coming. Bean Twice a Year just has dick season.
I take my time change very seriously.
Here's the normal feature.
Thanks for that.
Tweet.
Bean.
And this is the current feature.
Thanks for that.
Daylight savings. Tweet.
Bean.
Saving, first of all.
It's madness.
And it's standard time.
The next time Bean says he's busy, let's remember he's going to spend time looking for his doppelganger and also correcting people who don't say Daylight Savings Day correctly.
Just say.
Should we take a look at some of these tweets?
Please,
all
let's
right.
do.
Gird your loins. Here we go.
Hey, Slate. Note for next year. We returned to standard time this weekend and left daylight saving time behind. Never savings. Come correct.
I think that's good advice.
So Slate changes their posting.
Did they really?
And takes the S off of daylight savings time. Not good enough.
The terrorists are winning. Oh.
Slate, still wrong. Still easing our way out of daylight saving time, not savings. It's standard time now. Good day, sir. You get nothing.
Wow. Don't you figure everybody at Slate then just goes, F this guy.
Yeah, as well they should.
We made a change for him, and he's still insulting us.
I hope what they do is, why are we so incompetent that we can't get it right?
Sure.
Hey, corner store for you.
What?
What?
First of all.
Is that an app?
Right.
He's attacking a Twitter handle that is corner store for you, which I'm assuming is a chain of stores
I'm
somewhere.
Not attacking them at all. I'm using my time to help them get better.
This tiny little mom and pop chain of stores called Corner Store for You now has to bear the brunt of dick season.
Hey, corner store for you. Nope. Standard time is here. And daylight saving time is over. Maybe use the extra hour to learn it's saving, not savings.
Thanks for that.
Daylight savings. Tweet.
Bean!
Wow.
Hey, Washington Times, I shouldn't have to remind a newspaper about saving, not savings. There is no S at the end of daylight saving. Hello, editor.
Wow. Bean is bringing the heat.
Oh. I stand by that one.
Thanks for that.
Daylight savings tweet.
Bean! Hey, Hopkins Medicine. I know you have a weird S on the John in your name, but there's no S at the end of daylight saving. Physician, heal thyself.
No.
That's wow. Johns Hopkins Hospital.
Bean, do you know how much good they do?
Well,
I'll let it slide. It's not Johns enough. Hopkins.
Not enough.
Thanks for that.
Daylight savings tweet.
Bean! Hey, we are teachers. Hate to correct your paper.
Oh, dear.
But what just ended is daylight saving time, never savings. It's standard time now.
Come on, they're teachers. They should know better, right? They shouldn't be teaching their students incorrectly.
Hey, Macy's.
You know, when you put them all together, Ralph, it sounds like I was working
hard
this weekend.
It was all this weekend.
Hey, Macy's. It's daylight saving, not savings, that ended. The miracle on 34th Street would be if you got this right, I guess.
Come.
It's standard time now. Hey, Nordstrom.
Oh, dear God.
Yes, more weekend because it's now standard time. P.S., you know how there's no S after Nordstrom? Same with saving.
By the way, another of my pet peeves is the people who say Nordstrom's. It's never Nordstrom's. It's always Nordstrom's.
Nobody cares.
Hey, Petco.
Oh,
even my dog knows it's now standard time. And this morning was the end of daylight saving time, not savings.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Is there an S still in suicide?
Thanks for that.
Daylight savings tweet.
Hey, Andrew Siciliano is on the line, host of Around the NFL on the DirecTV's Red Zone channel. A listener called up with a very good point. Let's hear that first.
So I'm just hearing you guys talk about how you need a song for Andrew Siciliano. If you allow me to sing it, I think I got one for you. All right, here it goes. Hey, Andrew, Andrew Siciliano, you don't po-po on your NFL show. Hey, Andrew, Andrew Siciliano.
I don't think that's our final answer. I don't think
we haven't decided on that, right?
I don't think that one rises to the level that our next guest deserves. Hey, Andrew, how are you, buddy?
Guys, good morning. Of all the songs they've ever heard about me, that is certainly one of them.
First of all, thank you so much for joining us, especially so early. We appreciate it. Why so many devastating injuries this weekend? It was hard to hear the news. Every few minutes, somebody else was going down for weeks at a time.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, it might get worse. They don't know about Matt Forte yet in Chicago. If they do, they haven't announced it. That's one to keep an eye on as well. There is no real answer for it. I mean, part of it is just the law of averages, and wow, there were a lot of them yesterday. There's Reggie Bush is out for the year, it seems. Steve Smith, his career could be over.
Yeah.
Billy's out. He's 36. He already said this is going to be his final year. He truly is one of my favorite people in all of sports.
Yeah.
So he's injured as well. Le'Veon Bell, the Steelers running back, who most people believe is the best running back in football right now. He, too, is done for the year. Cameron Wake, who's a great defensive end, who played in the Thursday night game. He tore his Achilles. He is out for the year. It's just devastating.
It was tough. All right, a lot of ground to cover. I don't know where you want to start, but we saw a little bit of return to form for your friend Peyton Manning last night.
Not return to form. They had 500 yards of offense. I mean, the story there as well is that Wade Phillips and that defense shut Aaron Rodgers down. Aaron Rodgers had 77 yards passing. That's, I mean, there are some pass plays in the Saints game, I think, that went longer than that.
That's crazy.
He had 77 yards, and Mike McCarthy, give him credit, afterwards said, I haven't had my ass kicked like that in a long time.
Yeah, all right. That was a surprise. I bet a lot of people lost money on that football game.
Put it this way, I have no idea what the line was, but I'll say this. I don't think anyone expected it to be that one-sided.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, no one... I put it this way. My friend, her mother lives in Denver, all right? And evidently the supermarket down the street gives away free donuts Monday morning with a Broncos win. Mom called up midweek angry that she wasn't going to get donuts, had already chalked it up as a Bronco.
That's awesome. Speaking of wagers, by the way, I had money that the Saints-Giants game was going to come in under 100 points. I'm so disappointed that I lost that bet.
Can you imagine, think about this, going on the road as a team, scoring 49 and losing?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Eli Manning is the first quarterback in the history of the league to throw 6 touchdowns in a game, not throw an interception, and lose. They combined for an NFL single-game record 13 touchdowns. They scored 101 total points. And, you know, a kicker won it. A kicker who just got there a couple of weeks ago won it with no time left on the clock. That game was absurd. It was. You will never go to another game like that. It was like the Big 12. It was like arena football yesterday.
Yeah. I'm sure your NFL statisticians gave you the figure, but I never heard it yesterday. What is the record for the most points scored in an NFL game, Andrew?
Wow, that's a great – it's 130-something, I think. Yesterday was 101.
Wow.
Yesterday was the third highest. I could be wrong. I could have been
– No, you're right. It is –
Yeah,
I thought the same thing when I saw third highest. I was like, holy crap, how did anybody score more than that?
Well, yesterday was the most in a game since 1969. And here, think about this. It was 1969, and then it was the St. Louis Cardinals were part of that. So the Cardinals have since moved to Arizona. The Rams are in St. Louis in place of the Cardinals, and the Rams may now move back here.
How about that? All right, we're on with Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV's Red Zone, Johnny Red Zone, as we like to call him. Let's talk about Kevin's Arizona Cardinals, who looked like they were doing everything they could yesterday to make it a close game and still ended up winning.
Yeah, here's the thing. They're a better team, and the Browns are bad at football. I mean, let's sum it up. Regardless of what happened in the first half,
look,
Bruce Arians chewed them out in the second half, and the better football team won.
How many times does an NFL team have 4 turnovers and win?
How many times does the NFL team that takes the ball away 4 times and fail to do anything with it, how many times is that team the Browns? Usually.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. All.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Often. All. Yeah. They did it. They intercepted Peyton, I believe, 17 times and failed to win. They intercepted Peyton in Denver's end in overtime and didn't even get a field goal off.
Andrew, I was watching, I think it was the CBS, one of the CBS games yesterday, and they had Mike Pereira on, who's their expert with the officials. And he was talking about how nearly half of reviewed plays this season have been overturned. And that really kind of surprised me. Are officials getting it wrong more often, or what's going on, do you think?
You know, I don't know the actual number, so I can't give you a straight answer on that. I would argue, however, that if it does go to replay and they are overturned, then the system is working. You know, the one that blows me away, not to turn it away from the NFL for a second, but you guys saw what happened in the college game in Miami.
That was the one of the craziest plays ever.
A touchdown, as Andrew pointed out, exactly, almost immediately.
Exactly. It's one of the most crazy, most awesome, most amazing, most memorable, it's already on a T-shirt that the school is selling, no joke, kind of plays. It wasn't in any way a touchdown.
Did they do a forward pass or something? What was the...
Well, at one point, the guy's knee was down before he lateral in the back.
Okay.
And the other time, there were 2 blatant blocks in the back in front of the officials. Either way, put it this way. Sunday morning, yesterday morning, the entire officiating crew was suspended.
I don't think I've ever heard of that before.
I don't know. I think it's happened in college. I don't know that it's happened to the NFL. The NFL has suspended, you know, for a game, I think, or maybe 2, a couple of officials this year, not lead referees. Like, the guy that got the Monday night clock wrong in San Diego a couple of weeks ago, when 20 seconds disappeared,
right.
That guy was suspended. I don't know what the numbers are. I know this is like the second most penalties called, or it was as of a couple of weeks ago. You hate when officials are actually part of the story.
Yeah, you really do. And I gotta say, even though it ended up going the Seahawks' way, I thought the most tragic official call yesterday was when the Seahawks had too many men on the field after their timeout. So Pete Carroll tried to call an immediate other timeout, and the official stopped the clock. instead of letting Dallas, you know, get the, you know, have a first down.
I don't get that one at all.
I mean, that was a terrible mistake.
Why, you can't do that?
For those who don't know, you cannot call consecutive timeout.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you call timeout, okay, great. You call timeout, you talk it over, you go back to the line. And then again, you see something you don't like or you screw up, you can't call timeout again. The other team can call timeout, but you can't do it consecutively before a play is snapped.
Right. So the official should have known that and didn't, and they stopped the clock, and therefore, you know, Dallas had to end up kicking a field goal instead of
zero sense.
Yeah. I mean, that is legitimately, that was an official mistake that very easily could have cost the Cowboys that game.
I will eagerly await an explanation on that, and I say that non-sarcastically because I don't know what happened.
Yeah, very disappointing. Like you said, you never want the officials to be involved in the outcome of the game. All right, we're almost out of time here, Andrew. Anything else you want to mention from the weekend or anything you want to say about tonight?
I mean, tonight's interesting because it's the undefeated Carolina Panthers, yes, and the Indianapolis Colts. And think about this. If the Panthers win this, which they likely will, the Colts next week will face the undefeated Broncos. The Peyton Andrew Luck, woo, everyone loves that game, except the Colts will be 3-5 and still in first place.
Can I ask you, Andrew, before we let you go, this whole rumor now that Andrew Luck has been playing with cracked ribs?
Mm-hmm.
What is this?
Okay, so it's Jay Glazer, our colleague at Fox. He reported yesterday morning on their pregame show that Andrew Luck has some kind of rib injury. I don't know if he described it as broken or cracked. I think he said broken. Either way, a rib injury. So a lot of people immediately said, well, wait a minute, if he has a rib injury, why hasn't that shown up on the injury report? Luck did miss two games, but they called it a shoulder injury. Now, I'm not a doctor. Your first rib is near your shoulder, is near your clavicle, the knee bone's connected to the leg bone kind of thing. I don't know. The Colts made a statement before their game. Well, I mean, yesterday afternoon, we stand by our injury reports. They are accurate. So, you know, it may be something the league looks into. The guy missed two games. I mean, that we know that. But you are supposed to be. You can't lie. It's not like hockey where you go, he has an upper body injury.
And that could mean anything.
Right. It could mean he punctured his eardrum with a Q-tip. So we'll see. By the way, do you see what Allie did there?
Oh, yeah.
Patriot fan.
Yeah. Of course.
Just saying. Nefarious activity.
They brought up Deflategate. Huh. Now they're cheating cheaters who cheat.
Oh, they brought it up. You caught me. It's your fault for noticing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Allie is not going to be happy until Ribsgate is a thing. All right.
Absolutely.
Follow him on Twitter at Andrew Siciliano. Look for him on the TV on the NFL Network this afternoon at 3. And, of course, next Sunday again on the Red Zone Channel doing what he does so well. Thank you, Andrew. We'll talk to you soon, sir.
How much for just one rib, by the way?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Holly Holm, in a couple of weeks, is going to be in the Octagon.
I have all her movies, by the way. You know, of all my X-rated actress favorites, she is definitely at the top of the list.
You are thinking of someone else, Ralph Garman.
What?
She is a UFC fighter who is on the bill at the top of the card against Ronda Rousey at UFC 193 in Melbourne, Australia, in front of 70,000 customers. She'll be fighting on November 14th. But before she does that, she'll be joining us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show coming up just after 8. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on Monday?
It's like a ferret talking to you. I don't know what's going on over there with her. Alnick is like pointing and trying to like mouth things with a little ferret mouth. And
yeah.
Can't understand. It looks like a gerbil gnawing on a carrot. No words there.
She's not good at communicating, if that's what you're saying.
Why won't she talk?
I don't know. I guarantee you, whatever she's got to say, I don't need to hear it.
Not worth it.
Not worth it. Yeah. It's Monday morning, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. The Martian, still number one, $11.4 million. Goosebumps, number two, $10.2 million. Made that number two. Remember when Fabio got hit in the face with a goose?
Yes,
he was
I did.
On that roller coaster.
It was one of the best things that's ever happened.
It's really one of the best things that has ever happened. Fabio at the groundbreaking ceremony, the ribbon cutting of a brand new roller coaster at some rinky dink amusement park. He was the grand marshal of the roller coaster ride, the premier ride, and he went up the top of the roller coaster. And while I was at the top of the mountain there, the curve, he got struck in the face by a flying goose.
Bean.
K-Rock microphones were there.
Wow. And he, you remember the video of him coming down off of the thing and his face was just gushing.
He had a bloodied face from the goose hitting him in the face. But the best part is the interview after, he goes, I was hit in the face by goose. So every time I see goose now, all I can hear is goose in my head.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
Bridge of Spies was third. Hotel Transylvania 2, Burnt. In its debut, only made $5 million, made it number five. The Last Witch Hunter, Paranormal Activity. The other new movie in the top ten this weekend, Our Brand is Crisis, $3.4 million, made it number eight. Crimson Peak and Steve Jobs were your top ten movies at the box office.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Mm-hmm.
The movie everyone is talking about as the best thing in theaters is The Room. Is that still in very limited release? Or are people just not going to see that?
Yes. No. It's in limited release.
Okay.
I don't know what The Room is.
That's that Brie Larson one. Maybe it's just called Room. That's that Brie Larson one about the family that's locked in a shed, remember, for like 5 years with her little kid. The
little girl's kept in a shed, and she keeps her busy by making her imagine all these things, and then the kid gets rescued. And
apparently it's just genius.
Real pick-me-up. Real good time at the movie theaters. Hey, I'm going to go see that, said Bean, in his wishing world again of things he'll never do.
He wants to do but won't.
Oh, Ike, you couldn't keep me away from that movie.
If I went to movies.
But I don't. Too busy looking for my twin.
You don't know, man.
I do know, man. I do know. You like that? My dramatic reading.
It's pretty strong.
Thanks. Supergirl! Cannot wait to talk to Melissa Benoist later on today. The show is the number one rated new show of the fall, and its popularity is even larger than we thought. 13 million viewers initially watched it live. But if you add in the DVR viewing, as was over the weekend, now we know over 16 million viewers tuned in for the premiere of that film. So, congratulations to Supergirl and Melissa. Snoopy! Mother effing Snoopy!
Yeah,
is getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning.
Yay!
Well deserved.
If you'd like to go down there at 11:30 a.m. and throw dog dishes, which I recommend.
Yeah, play it, Schroeder.
That's bullshit.
Go on.
Snoopy star will be at 7021 Hollywood Boulevard.
Okay.
Producer Paul Figg will be accepting the award because they say Snoopy doesn't speak. Oh, that's right. He doesn't. I forgot. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. He's not real.
Now, Ralph, were you critical of Mickey Mouse getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Fictional characters should not get stars. Unless you can show up as a real thing and thank everyone, you don't get a star. Tinkerbell, Donald Duck, Snoopy, nobody.
All right.
I guarantee he's going to blow kisses and wave. That's showing up and that is
I guarantee he's
going to
blow.
You're so hateful of the Peanuts. And
what time
are
we all going to the Peanuts movie on Friday?
Oof, I'm going first showing, right after work.
I'm with you. I'm right there with you.
I'm sorry, you're talking about the same day that James Spectre Bond comes out?
Really?
Yeah. No thanks.
There's plenty of time to go see Spectre after you check off the Peanuts movie. What's your point, Ralph? Is everyone should go down and
pelt him with metal dog dishes.
It should be a little harsh.
It should just be a downpour of hard metal Petco dog dishes. The heavy kind. The metal, the aluminum kind.
That's not a good idea.
I want to hear, boom, 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 boom. Just want to hear them ringing off that stupid guy in the stupid stuffed costume that isn't real just being pelted with dog dishes. Get the big ones, too. Don't get the little ones for the little dogs. Get one that would be like the size of for a Great Dane. Someone holds about a gallon, just a gallon of dog food.
Who hurt you, Ralph?
Stupid Peanuts hurt me by never being funny once. Ugh.
It really was never funny once.
Not even once.
I don't think it was meant to be funny. It was meant to be uplifting and show kids that, you know what, if you get a rock...
That's funny. It was called a comic strip. I don't remember it calling it a tragic strip.
All comic strips are funny to you?
The ones that are good are. Sorry, what were you busy? Reading Mary Worth and Rex Morgan, M.D.?
I don't even know what you're saying.
I don't know what that is. What? References.
What?
Those were comic strips the same time the Peanuts came out. They also were not funny. stupid peanuts.
Funny, because they couldn't understand them.
Yeah, everybody gets that.
Sit down.
Sit down. Mouth some more words, ferret. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Buffer is 71 years old today. He's famous for a line that he uses when he gets in the ring and announces things.
Yeah.
But you can't say it. Because he's got people. And they monitor everything all the time. And if you say it, boom, they show up. And they slap you with a mackerel. You don't want that. You don't want to be slapped in the face with a mackerel.
They slap you with a mackerel?
I have no idea, but that's their way.
That's weird.
I don't know what country they're from. David Schwimmer from Friends is 49 years old today. And legendary rapper-singer Nelly is 41 today. You remember his big hit, don't you know?
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
Oh.
It's pretty good. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with Bean.
It's Holly Holm in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Holly, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Former professional boxer and kickboxer. During your boxing career, you defended your titles 18 times in three different weight classes. And then at some point you said, hey, I've done everything I can do in boxing. What's that? What else is out there? Was it a conversation, something like that going on in your head when you made this switch to kickboxing and then to MMA?
No, I never felt like I did everything in boxing because I feel like there's always somebody coming up and somebody to beat. I just wanted to try something new. So I never looked at it and thought, oh, I've just done it all. You know, I always felt like I still had things to do. And mm-hmm. maybe that's what found me into MMA. I just wanted to try something new. And I've been training at an MMA gym my whole life. And so I would just train sometimes with some of the teammates, doing a little bit of MMA, they'd say, oh, she has an MMA fight coming up, so if you'll just, you know, do some kickboxing with her, she might try and take you down, try not to let her. Okay, well, I'll do my best. And then it just was so fun. So I thought, you know, I think I want to have an MMA fight, and I'll just do both MMA and boxing, which I did for a couple years. And after I started getting so into MMA, I had a boxing fight coming up, and I just didn't feel like boxing.
You accidentally kick someone in the head?
Yeah, is it sort of weird to kind of hold back with certain things? I mean, I imagine once you get in the ring, no?
No, when I have a boxing fight coming up and that's what's on my mind, that's all I'm doing is just boxing. And then I think the only thing that was a little bit different is if I'd go in and start kickboxing for the day, somebody would always kick me first and be like, oh, yeah, I can kick you today.
So, Holly, before we talk about November 14th in Melbourne with UFC 193, I'm so fascinated by anyone who becomes a professional athlete. Like, what happened early in your life that cleared that path for you?
Well,
I mean, do you know, was there a moment where there was a light bulb thing, or is it something you gradually got into, or how did it work?
Okay, so I started doing kickboxing aerobics just to keep in shape, and it happened to be at Mike Winklejohn's gym, which is still who my stand-up coach is today. I just was lucky to walk into his place from the get-go. But
and how old are you at this point?
16. And I did aerobics for about a year, and then I thought, ooh, I want to try those sparring classes they have over there. So I did that when I was 17, had my first amateur fight when I was 18, and then moved out right after I graduated high school. And I was working full-time, training full-time, going to school full-time, and I thought...
That's three full-times. I don't know that's possible.
That doesn't work. So
that's a tough schedule.
I can go to school when I'm 40, but I don't want to fight when I'm 40, so I'm going to give this thing a go. And that was it.
And so you've basically been making a living as a professional athlete ever since then.
I have. I was a server while I was still... You know, my first pro fight was a whole $500. That didn't even cover my rent for the month. So,
you have like a black eye or something?
I had to
while you were serving.
Yeah. You know, I worked all the way until after I had my first world title. And I remember serving on a Monday morning after I'd fought on a Friday night. And there was somebody, I worked in the airport, and they said, aren't you? We just came into town for your fight. We just watched your fight.
Oh, my God.
Aren't you that fighter? I'm like, yeah.
That's
can
amazing.
I get you something to drink?
Why so did you stick with it that long? Do you think just because you just...
I was technically probably making enough that I could have not had to work, but I liked having the freedoms to do what I wanted to, so... And then, of course, after then, I made a little more, a little more, a little more. Then I thought, okay, I can just my fight with Christy Martin. She had been on cover of Sports Illustrated at the time. I had only had 12 pro fights, and she had over 40. Had fought on the undercard of Mike Tyson. It was a big, you know, underdog situation. And for that fight, my promoter said, you know, I just want you to be able to train, so I'll just, like, he paid me a little bit, a portion of the, you know, purse.
So you could quit your waitressing job.
Right. And so.
Did you make a big scene when you left? See you later, suckers.
No. Threw some bottles.
Look for me on TV, no. Assholes.
Yeah.
Just in case you had to go back, you were like, oh,
and
I'm not going
to. Yeah, I have to go back ever since then.
So, Holly, I'm also interested in, so you're born and raised, lived your whole life in New Mexico, right? Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you showed up at the right place at the right time to have, you know,
absolutely,
to start building a team around you that you've been happy with. There's never been any need or desire for you to leave the state to continue with your training. You've been able to do everything you've needed to do so far based in New Mexico.
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
I don't really know if you follow UFC, but at our gym right now, we've got John Jones, Carlos Condit, Kyle Noakes also fighting the same night as myself, but Keith Jardine, you know, he's Rashad Evans used to train and fight out of there.
So it's a hotbed for talent out there.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. It's the gym. It's the gym. And I just was blessed that I was just there.
You've sparred with John Jones too, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, not that we're going to be, you know, sparring.
No, I know, but just for, you know, to keep the blood moving, right?
Yeah, and I just kind of shadow box sparring, I guess is what we call that, just to kind of, you know, the movement, the technique, and yeah, we're still contacting each other, but yeah, I mean, how do you not learn from that guy?
Yeah. How do you not take advantage of having proximity, right?
That's right.
This is the voice of Holly Holm here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's going to be fighting Ronda Rousey at UFC 193. She has a 9-0 mixed martial art record, 2-0 in the UFC. What was your first UFC fight like?
It was a lot. It was crazy. It was busy. You know, we had a lot of anticipation of even signing with the UFC to begin with. I was fighting with Legacy Fighting Championships the year prior to my UFC debut, and everybody was already talking about, you know, negotiations with the UFC, and I thought, well, I was fighting for the title with Legacy, and I thought, well, okay, if I don't win this, that kind of ruins a lot of that whole hype situation, so I just wanted to focus on that, and I didn't really get into the talk with the contractual stuff with the UFC, and then in that fight, I won. I wound up stopping the girl in the fifth round, but I had broken my arm in the first round, so
okay,
yeah,
just kind of like a
let's hold
time
right
off
there.
Type thing.
Let's hold right there. So you break your arm in the first round. This fascinates us, and every fighter that we have in seems to have one of these stories where they broke their wrist, they broke their foot.
Yeah,
something.
Usually it's a finger or something like that. An arm that seems like that might hold you back for the next three rounds.
Yeah, well, it was one of those things. I didn't want to say it if it wasn't, and then be like, you know. Gosh, what a wuss. She was like acting all dramatic.
My arm's broken. Look, if you don't keep fighting with a broken arm, you're a wuss. Let's be honest, right?
Basically, this is what was in my head. Okay, well, if it's broken, we got to get it fixed anyway. And if I lose and have a broken arm, how depressing is that?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Let's just try and finish this thing out.
Does that make you a little bit more anxious in knowing that if you've got a broken arm, maybe you can't go the whole way or whatever, you need to finish it sooner? Is there some anxiety there? Or no?
You know, I was just trying to control the fight. That way I didn't have to get stuck in any situations that I couldn't really control with that. You know, it was just kind of, well, I have two legs and an arm. It'd be a little harder in boxing, I think, but like, there's a lot of other things we can do. So let's just try and keep her at bay.
Was that the Pennington fight?
No, that was my last fight with Legacy for the belt.
Oh, okay.
And so I guess
how depressing for the person you
that
beat, though. The person you beat found out, oh, you just got beat, and she had a broken arm in the first round.
We were both pretty banged up after that fight. She's she was a Muay Thai fighter, and a lot of those Muay Thai fighters are pretty, you know, just, they're used to kind of lots of kicks, lots, you know, they have some pretty long, brutal bouts in Muay Thai. And
yeah.
I basically didn't have this rush to, like, let's sign this UFC contract right now because I was having to heal.
And in training for Raquel Pennington, my first UFC fight, I herniated my disc in training. So I had to postpone that. So I've never had any injury that's ever taken me out of a fight. And then I had two big ones, like back-to-back. So the first fight in the UFC, this is a really, really short story long that you were asking about what my first UFC fight was like.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming back to that question. It was a lot. Mentally, physically, just everything. And it was a lot of anticipation. And then the main event fell through, so they made Ronda the main event, made me the co-main event. And I thought, well, okay, let's just keep just making this bigger, more anticipation. And, you know, so it was a lot of nerves and things like that. But most of it was just coming off the fact that I hadn't fought since two really big injuries. How's this going to go? And but it wound up panning out. I wasn't 100% happy with my performance, but got that out of the way.
You keep winning, and Ronda keeps winning, and that's why the undefeated, you know, head of the card is going to be on November 14th at Melbourne, Australia, UFC 193, Rousey versus Holm. We have many questions about that and about Australia and about everything that's going on in the world of UFC fighter Holly Holm in with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Quick break. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Speaking of Supergirl, we'll be talking to Melissa Benoist in about half an hour or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show about tonight's episode 2 of that series. Holly Holm in studio with us right now from the UFC. UFC 193 is fast approaching November 14th. Holly, you already had to go down to Australia to do some press, sell some tickets, yeah. Shake some hands?
Do some media stuff, do a little press conference over there.
How much UFC have they had down in Australia? How popular is it on that continent?
Okay, so this actually is kind of like a big time for MMA in Australia. Mm-hmm. In Melbourne, this is the first time they're going to be able to have like the cage there, because they would only let them fight in a ring.
Is that right?
I think that, I don't know the exact details, but I think they just didn't like the way it looked in a cage, like you're locked up. But really, a ring's way worse, because then you like fly through the ropes sometimes. Literally, sometimes.
That's so
you can
weird.
Fall out of the ropes, but not that it's every fight, but still. And so the first time that they were putting the cage up, they put the octagon together for the press conference at Etihad Stadium when we were there. So it was kind of this is like a big thing for Melbourne to be able to have UFC come, and they finally just had passed the law to be able to fight in the octagon.
Now, you've been doing a lot of press. You did a lot down there. You've done a lot here. What's the thing that most people say to you about fighting Ronda Rousey?
Oh, well, I mean, there's like the five basic
five
things.
Okay.
You better be working your armbar defense.
Right.
Thanks, bro.
That's the first.
I love that they're telling you how to fight.
Okay. Thanks,
good
bro.
Tip.
Stay boxing with her, and I'm thinking, it's not boxing, it's MMA. Thanks, guy. And, oh my gosh, are you nervous? Well, sure. I'm nervous for any fight. I don't care who it is. And then just put it on a huge scale, okay? And, all these people, I ask them. I want to ask. I want to. I don't. I say, okay, thank you. But really, I want to say, you know what, dude? I've been missing something. You are who I need.
Like, nailed it.
Come to the gym with me, please. Yeah. I have been missing this link.
Finally, some direction.
Yeah. Well, besides journalists that ask really dumb questions, what kind of advice have you gotten from, say, a John Jones?
You know, I think a lot of it is, okay, there's the obvious. Let's work on the armbar defense and the judo throws. You got to experience some of that yourself.
Do you say thanks, bro, to John Jones? Probably
that's
not.
That's more like, thanks, bro. Thanks. You know, what I love is there's so many things that go – there's all those transitional times, you know, and just being ready for all those situations. Do I want to wait till I get in the armbar to try and defend it? That's usually the worst time to try and wait till, you know, you want to defend it along the way. There's a lot of things that go with that. But what I love about, I mean, John's just an awesome fighter, and that's just really all there is to it. He's got a great mind for fighting, and I have the same coaches that he has. You know, Mike Winklejohn and Greg Jackson and Israel Martinez, that I love to hear his input, because he's been able to take what they teach and put it all together. Mm-hmm. So I love to pick his brain.
Yeah.
obviously, any fighter can be beaten, but no one right. has been able to beat Ronda. She's 12-0. You've probably right. watched every single one of her fights. Mm-hmm. Is there any takeaway that you have of what people are doing wrong? What are they missing about beating Ronda Rousey that you've figured out?
I think every fight is different. I think at first, a lot of them were thinking, oh, I can do this. You know, she just does judo and arm bars. In the beginning, they would think, oh, just, you know, defend that. And then that wasn't working so well. And, you know, she started to really improve on all of her stand-up and everything like that. And now she has 3 knockouts, and all by different ways, you know. One of them from body knee, 2 from overhands, you know, knockouts there. One just knocked her out. The other one, she wound up going down and finishing with ground and pound. But I think a lot of times these girls come in maybe hoping they'll make it through rather than just really being like, I'm just going to do this.
And it seems like smack talk has played such a role in every fight of hers. But this one, I haven't heard anything.
You know, I don't ever get into that. And
it does
maybe
seem
it's hard if there's only one person doing it.
It right. does seem to fuel certain people that
yeah.
need that kind of smack talk to get them up for a fight.
And, you know, I really don't know how much of it is really personal. I think that, obviously, Ronda's last fight, that one was personal.
Yeah, very,
her
yeah.
and Misha seem to be pretty personal. Yeah. Other than that, even if there's smack talk and any of the other fights, I don't... Sometimes people just need to do something to get up for the fight. And me, I just think I just want to win. Like, I could care less what you say or, you know.
That's interesting. And I also think some fighters, you know, Conor McGregor is a great example of a guy who yeah. knew that his ability to smack talk was going to make him a much bigger star, much mm-hmm. faster. And that yep. was going to be money in the bank for him. Mm-hmm. So he used it to his advantage. But that's not everybody's approach.
I think some people actually get curious with that and try and play along with it as well. Well, it's working for Conor. Maybe I'll try it a little bit, you know.
not everybody can pull it off.
But that's just not natural for me. And I don't want to do anything different than what's been working for me. I don't want to step out of my, you know, my focus just to, you know, try something new. And I'm not thinking maybe if I smack talk, I'll make more money. I'm thinking, well, maybe if I get a quicker knockout, I'll make more money. That's what I'm thinking. I would rather just go beat someone.
I think you're putting your energies in the right place there,
I hope
Holly.
So.
UFC 193, Rousey versus Holm is going to be November the 14th. It's in Melbourne, Australia. And I have to ask, with the time difference, I haven't heard any math on this. What time of day are you going to be fighting over there?
I think
time
we'll be fighting like at 1:30 on Sunday.
1:30 yeah. in the afternoon or in the morning?
Okay. Afternoon.
Oh, is that going to be weird?
It'll be weird. But, oh, well. I mean, we train
During the day, all the time.
At home,
yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not really imagining. And actually, I don't train at 10:30 at night when I would fight sometimes.
Well, that's way better than like the Gustafsson fight in Stockholm where it was, you know, 4 a.m. or something for him.
Oh, my gosh. That would be hard, yeah.
So, all right. So we'll be able to see it in the evening like we're used to then. The preliminaries
right.
are going to be on Fox Sports 1, of course, and UFC Fight Pass. The main card is going to be on pay-per-view November the 14th, UFC 193. You seem relatively calm about this, Holly.
Well, at this point, a lot of the work has been done. I think I was more nervous when they announced it, which, trust me, I'm still nervous. I am all the way up to a fight. And like I said, it's no different. Every fight is like this. But the more training I put in, the more confidence I feel because the hard work has been put in. And the closer to a fight, you know, don't get me wrong, the walk to the, you know, octagon still, it's the scariest moment ever. Yeah, I hate it. Every time
really?
I'm like, I choose to do this.
Well, so we are going to be watching, and we are thrilled that you made some time to come by the Kevin.
Thank you so much.
We really enjoyed meeting you, and thank you for the time.
Thank you.
He is not Captain Positive. I'll tell you
no,
that.
He is.
I mean,
it's
just he is not
making your Monday a little bit better. That's all.
Good information I've given you.
Giving you a little bit more joy.
He's not make things better.
It's what he does, he's the joy bringer.
Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show
he's
here on a Monday
boy.
Morning. Ralph, I'm so glad you're here because our listeners, this isn't a joke, by the way. Allie, back me up. Our listeners have been demanding this feature.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, Facebook, Twitter, email.
Yes,
yes.
Demanding.
We need it.
How did it start? How did Kevin Mad Libs the News get started? Do you remember?
Well, Kevin has a magical power. That is, sometimes for fun, I will just throw to him the detail of a story I'm doing, and I'll say, of course, you know, for example, you know, the longest running show in Las Vegas, of course, Kevin, as you know, is, and I'll do that as a joke, and Kevin will be able to come up with some magical answer, like, the Happy Dancing Rock Show or something. He'll just say something that makes me laugh so hard that I said, this needs to be a recurring segment where Kevin, we just leave a blank in the story, and then Kevin fills it in with magic, the way it used to be when you played Mad Libs. Remember when you'd read a story and you say to your friends, okay, I need a noun, and they would just give you one. And then when you read the story back with some random noun in there, it was always funny. Well, that's what happens when Kevin Mad Libs the news.
And by the way, I think I know where this came from. I think I know why Kevin is so good at this. Because Kevin is a guy who had a lot of explaining to do, stories that he got in trouble for something with his parents or with the police, and they asked him a question, and he had to think fast on his feet to say something that sounded believable. And I think that's why he's so good at it.
I agree.
But none of this sounds believable. That's my issue.
I mean,
well,
it doesn't.
Let's see.
All right.
That's where the magic comes from. He's a kid, and he doesn't watch the news. That's how we know.
That's true, yeah.
All right, let's get to it. Of course, at the top of the hour, we're going to be speaking with Melissa Benoist, star of the wildly popular CBS TV series Supergirl, which I love the first episode of. She's terrific in it. Supergirl is the number one rated new show of the fall. With its airing, it beat out the previous top-rated new show, which, of course, was Kevin.
Black holes? For some reason, only black holes came to my head.
Nope. Yes.
The very popular show, Black Holes. Sure. It did not rate so well in its first episode, which surprised me. Blind Spot was the TV show that was
sort of the same.
I mean, I watched Black Holes.
I've got all the Black Holes
I'd
DVD,
give me that.
DVR'd rather, but I haven't had a chance to watch yet.
Blind Spot, right.
Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Carson, of course, popular presidential candidate for the Republican Party. Kevin, you may know, of course, that he was a doctor previously before he became a presidential candidate. He, of course, his specialty was
dentistry,
right? Or pediatric neurosurgery,
right?
And he performed at the prestigious hospital known as.
All I can think of is Johns.
Johns Hopkins.
Johns Hopkins
Hospital is correct.
We'll give
Kevin.
Me that.
Oh, wow.
We'll give me that.
Look at that.
Well, Johns.
Wow.
Johns Hospital. It was not Johns Hopkins Hospital. It's just Johns Hospital. A guy named John has got a little hospital down.
That's all I had. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Speaking of politics.
Yes.
Fred Thompson passed away over the weekend. Of course, he was an actor as well as being a senator and one-time Republican presidential hopeful himself. Fred Thompson, of course, served as the senator to the great state of.
Nevada.
Tennessee.
Right.
Sure. And was on Law and Order, famously, was on that show, but also appeared in 20 different motion pictures, had big roles in 20 movies, probably best known for.
Pig's Feet Don't Lie.
Pig's Feet Don't Lie. Yes.
Is that a.
Along with In the Line of Fire, Hunt for Red October, right. Die Hard 2, and Cape Fear. But Pig's Feet Don't Lie, absolutely.
That was probably his biggest role.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Talk about actors.
Shut up, Chip!
Actors who passed away. Beloved TV actor Al Molinaro passed away over the weekend. Of course, for many years, he starred as Big Al Del Vecchio on the TV series, Kevin.
Little House on the Prairie.
Nope. Happy Days.
Happy Days.
And also is known as Murray the Cop on.
Murray the Cop.
He played Murray the Cop on the wildly popular series.
Murray the Cop.
I didn't know he starred as Murray the Cop on his own series.
The Odd Couple.
The
Murray the Cop on The Odd Couple. And lastly, during a Q&A session at the Indian Institute of Technology in New Delhi last week, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg vowed to significantly scale back and block all those unsolicited game messages you get on Facebook for the popular internet game.
Taint Wars. Tell me that's right, because I want to play that.
Candy Crush was
Candy
actually
Crush.
The game we were talking about,
right.
Candy Crush. Although, I am so tired of getting requests from my friends to play Taint Wars.
Well.
So you've got a point, Kevin.
Kevin, Mad Libs the News. Oh, what will he say?
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
Not only do we talk to Supergirl just after 9, we also have a pair of Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Passes, good for a full year at Disneyland Park and Disneyland California Adventure. You can get all the details at K-Rock.com. Your chance to win coming up in minutes. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
By the way, there is a new time slot for Supergirl. I don't know if you heard that in the commercial or not. But
oh, tell us. Tell us more.
8 o'clock tonight, or 5 if you've got...
Magic TV.
Magic TV, and you're watching from the East Coast feed. But it's 8 o'clock tonight is the new time slot for Supergirl.
Okay.
First episode, they had it following
Big Bang Theory
introduce us to the show. But now it's taking over at 8 o'clock, so you can check it out. And I believe the cast of Supergirl, we can ask Melissa about this when we talk to her next, but they're doing a live tweet of tonight's episode, I believe, which would be 5 p.m. our time, because they're going to do it live East Coast time.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. I know she's well known for all of her Glee episodes, but wasn't she also in Pig's Feet Don't Lie?
Do I remember
her as being in that film as
right.
well?
Remember the big dance off where the pig's feet dance off against the horse hooves?
That's
and they
right.
Said, second place, hell yeah! Remember that? I think that was her line. I think Pig's Feet Don't Lie. Isn't that the best segment in the world?
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Hands down.
Oh, Kevin,
anytime you get a chance to look in-depth at Kevin's brain, it's going to be a great segment.
It's just the best. Nothing makes me
All
laugh
right,
harder.
All right, take it easy.
I'm telling you, nothing makes me laugh harder. Take it. Why don't you guys are you against settle, joy?
Why don't you guys settle this by playing against each other in Taint Wars?
That's a good idea. We could settle up with a good hot game of Taint Wars.
Oh, I don't love that it's hot.
It's Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Martian, number one. In a lackluster weekend at the theaters, $11.4 million was good enough to make it number one. Then Goosebumps, Bridge of Spies, Hotel Transylvania 2. Number five was Burnt, $5 million in its debut. The Last Witch Hunter was number six. Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension was seventh. Our brand is Crisis. $3.4 million was all that new Sandra Bullock movie earned in its debut. That was number eight. Crimson Peak and Steve Jobs. At number 10.
By the way, Ralph, I know that both of those movies that underperformed this weekend, The Burnt and The Air Brand is Crisis, both have their individual problems, maybe with subject matter or whatever. Those titles are terrible, though. Neither one of them are appealing movie titles, are they?
No. It sounds like something Kevin would make up during Mad Lib the News.
Yeah.
What's the new Sandra Bullock movie? Our brand is Crisis?
It does. Even if it's based on a book, which I think it might be, change it for the movie. And
right.
Burnt. Nobody wants to go see anything called Burnt.
No.
Okay. Bean has spoken.
Bean does not approve.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Right. Speaking of just saying, Katy Perry wants you to know how you should manscape. In an interview with Glamour magazine, she announced that a man's private part should be trimmed, but not completely shaved or waxed, fellas. All right, make a note.
Okay.
That means I got a shot with Katy Perry. That's all I'm thinking.
God.
That's all I'm saying. I'm just the way she likes it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Nice tight carpet. Nice tight carpet down there. Not hardwood floors, but just a nice, not a shag or hardwood floor. Oh, just a nice industrial carpet. Oh, come on, everybody! Just talking about manscaping.
All right,
right.
Wow,
manscaping,
man.
This is
my
exciting.
God,
news.
Why is there vomit everywhere?
Okay, this is exciting news. I've got my next gig lined up. So long, suckers. Have fun working.
What's your next gig?
My next gig, I'm going to be on the crew of the next starship. Next
Yay!
Federation starship.
Wow. In the movie?
Nope. On the new Star Trek TV series.
Yay!
And they've contacted you and you've...
Not per se.
Auditioned.
But it's just a matter of time. Why are you letting details get in the way of me and my destiny?
Just asking.
Alex Kurtzman and Bob Orsi, two of the key players behind the Star Trek feature franchise, along with J.J. Abrams, have moved to CBS TV studios, and ever since they have, there's been talk about them perhaps resurrecting Star Trek as a television series. And now, according to Deadline and other websites, it is going to happen. There have been meetings. Kurtzman will serve as executive producer, and there have been meetings with potential writers for the past few months for this show. So it looks like it is going ahead. For some time now, CBS and Paramount have both wanted to move forward and reestablish Star Trek as a major property on television. And now, according to sources, it's going to happen. A rebooted Star Trek TV series.
It's the luckiest day ever.
Last one we had was Enterprise. It's been a while since it's been on television. Now, then, it's going to be on CBS, on the network. On a network. A network going to carry Star Trek again.
I can't even.
So I can only imagine they're going to find a new starship.
Right.
With a new crew. Because I'm sure they're not going to want to tamper with what JJ's doing with the Star Trek franchise over there in the feature film. So this will be a whole new crew and all new adventures. And I'm just saying...
Captain Ralph Garman?
Look, I'm not silly enough to assume I could be captain.
Why? Why not? Your radio's Chris Pine.
Sure. But I'm sure they'll get some star for the captain. But come on.
It's Bobby!
Right? How about Lieutenant Bobby? Couldn't he be on there? Dr. Bobby? I could be the doctor on the new stuff. He's dead. Jim. Or whatever your name is, new doctor. New captain. All right, day two. He's dead, Captain.
Oh,
boom!
Nailed it.
I like it.
Chills, right?
Yeah.
Or I could be a lieutenant. I could be a security guy. I could be a red shirt who gets murdered quickly into the episode.
You could be a viewer.
You son of a bitch. Listen, just
you're a dream
you
crusher.
Just because you don't chase your dreams wishing well doesn't mean I can't go out there and find my happiness.
I want you to be on the new Star Trek. I think it would be awesome.
Here's the sweet-ass thing about being on a Star Trek show. Boom. You're set for life. You do that a couple years, just go to this convention, start raking in the dough. That's all I'm saying. I just stand there, just sign those autographs. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Want a picture? $50. Boom. Cash cow. ATM. Nothing but.
Sounds like an exciting life, too.
Set for life. Maybe I could look for my doppelganger while I'm there.
Oh, that would be fun.
Right?
Okay. Want to hear more about my manscaping?
No.
No, we're good. Thank you.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Because some parts you do have to shave. But you don't shave all of it. That's all I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ring announcer Michael Buffer. He's 71 years old today. I bet he's a waxer. He strikes me as a waxer. David Schwimmer. He's 49 years old.
Ball throw.
And Nelly.
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
Wow, Nelly has lost a step, hasn't he?
He's not as soulful as I remember him.
His latest live performance of that song. And he's missing something, huh? Maybe it's a studio trick they did on the track or
production.
We've got vomit! Nelly's 41 years old today. You should let more time lapse between those disconnected audio bits.
Vomit.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show's beat.
The hell?
It's kind of like picking and grinning.
What the hell was that? What did you just play? What were you just
Coleman
playing?
Hell.
Why so many banjos? I thought we beat the banjos.
Nope, banjos are back in a big, big way.
Banjos
are back.
We're losing the banjos again?
Stronger than ever.
Yep.
Thought we survived that.
Banjos are forever.
Ralph, you have been telling us that Supergirl is the highest rated new show of the fall season.
Higher than we even thought. When we first saw the numbers come in, it was like 13 million viewers. And then they added on the DVR numbers, and that's over 16 million viewers tuned in to watch the premiere episode of Supergirl on CBS.
Unreal.
This is Monday night, 8 p.m. What if I were to tell you that Kara Zor-El herself is on the phone right now?
I would be very pleased. I would be even happier if Melissa Benoist was on the phone right now.
Well, it's your lucky day. Hey, Melissa.
Hey, guys.
Congratulations on everything in the whole damn world.
Thank you.
I mean, look, we always talk to actors, and it's a miracle if any actor ever gets work. And then if you get on a show and then it gets on the air, that's another miracle. And then to have it received the way it is, you guys just must be on cloud nine over there.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even tell you. The day after the premiere, just everyone on the crew and the cast, everyone was – it was like a shot in the arm. We needed it.
Well, you know what else is great, Melissa, is that, of course, the show was much anticipated. There was a lot of hype around it. CBS really promoted you guys, which was great. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that can set you up for a fall if people don't like what they see when they finally tune in. The best part has to be that people are just in love with the show and with the work that you're doing.
Thankfully, yeah. Wouldn't that have been embarrassing?
Yeah, it would have been. What a letdown that show was, they would have said.
So I know that you've shot so much more, lots of episodes that we have yet to see, but I have to ask in general, what's the hardest thing about playing Supergirl?
I mean, all of it is pretty difficult.
That's not acceptable.
Essentially, I'm playing two characters. You've got Kara Danvers and then Kara Zor-El.
Mm-hmm, right.
And the action sequences and the stunts that I'm doing are really taxing physically. Like, some days, I'm getting better, but when we first started, I was waddling home some nights and having to soak in Epsom salt for hours.
Well, the special effects on the show, they're like feature film quality.
Right. It's pretty insane.
And you are getting thrown around quite a bit, it looks like, on this show. And I'm assuming that working opposite visual effects that have not yet been put into the scene either can be taxing as an actor, right?
Yeah, it can be difficult. But as long as it's just a matter of tapping into your imagination and really believing that I'm up there flying in the air and... It's fun to do that.
I'm sure there were a lot of people who are familiar with the Superman and Supergirl mythology who have contacted the show. I'm sure you get people all the time are talking to you about, you know, their version, their interpretation of how things are being. But it seems like, I mean, you guys are really kind of carving out your own lane. But why is Superman such a dick to his cousin? That's my takeaway from episode one, which was, why are they not spending more time together?
Yeah, it is kind of odd, isn't it? Well, I think the whole thing was that since she was stuck in space for as long as she was when she made it to Earth finally, he was already established as this worldwide phenomenal hero, and her job, the reason she was sent to Earth by her parents, was to protect him because he was a baby.
Right.
And so she kind of feels that there's not really a purpose for her to do that anymore. And
how about they're related? How about they're the only people in their whole families that are still alive?
Well, you're right.
She
but I think
being
that
take it
calm.
Easy, Bean.
Yeah. Wow. Who hurt you
Lord.
As a child?
Crap. She's only had one episode there.
Well, there is like a healthy competition between the two of them. There's no resentment, and you'll get little snippets and treats here and there in episodes where he's on the outskirts, but they've got I like the relationship they have. It's sweet.
He did
and
said,
Bean, calm down. Let's focus on Supergirl. enough
yeah,
about her cousin.
Sorry.
Screw him.
And he did set you up with a nice foster family to raise you here on Earth, which was
true.
Kind of him, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little lax, I think, with keeping your secret identity, blabbing to Jimmy Olsen and whatnot. But other than
I know.
That...
Well, he just told my secret without even asking.
Yeah, nice.
Yep. But he did also send you a hunky Jimmy Olsen that I suspect Supergirl's going to fall deeply in love with, right?
You know, there's attractions there. That's what's great about the show is that it's everything. It's like action, and there is possibilities of romance, not just with James Olsen, but there are other characters. We've got it now. Like, we call it the romantic rhombus on set, because there's so many involved that who knows who's going to end up with who.
Right. You got Windshot, who's in love with you,
mm-hmm.
and you've got an eye on James Olsen.
Mm-hmm.
What other angles in the rhombus are there?
There's a character introduced in tonight's episode that is going to shake things up.
All right. Okay. I like it. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, Melissa, the one thing I enjoy about the show, I know we live in sort of a post-Dark Knight world where mm-hmm. superheroes now are supposed to be grim and gritty and everybody's got a lot of angst and stuff. For Kara to be so enthusiastically in pursuit of just helping people because she can, I have mm-hmm. to tell you, is a remarkable breath of fresh air in this genre right now.
I'm so glad you think so. I thought the same thing, you know, when I auditioned initially. I was like, I hope this isn't along the same lines as everything has been. And she really is. What I love about her is that she's got such a tragic past. She actually can have memories and had her childhood growing up on a planet that she lost.
Right.
She lost everything. And the way she deals with it as a survivor is, I think, truly inspiring.
Yeah, there's a lot of hope and a lot of positivity that's mm-hmm. carried in this show. And I think it's been sorely lacking in the superhero genre right now. It's just so nice to see you guys do it.
I'm glad you think so.
How many episodes are there in this season?
Right now, 13. We're in the middle of shooting number 10.
I wonder if you'll get picked up.
I wonder.
With 16 million viewers, I think it's almost a foregone conclusion. You're going to be bruised for a couple more years, I think, Melissa.
We are talking to actress Melissa Benoist. She, of course, is Supergirl, CBS, 8 o'clock. Do you think at any point you will have the opportunity to sing on this show as well, Melissa?
I don't know, but everyone says that. We've got so many musically talented actors on the show. I feel like it's kind of inevitable, but who knows?
Oh, the special musical episode of Supergirl. I can't wait for that.
Oh, man.
And let me just say one other thing here, and I know the guys are going to say I'm being creepy, but I'm really not.
Oh, no.
And
oh,
no, and that is.
Melissa, we're sorry for whatever he's about to say.
It's not creepy at all. It's just, my whole life, people have been horrified and terrified and scared of aliens coming to Earth because they always think it's going to mean bad things. Mm-hmm. Please note that Melissa is playing an awesome alien who came to Earth and that we should welcome our alien overlords. It's great news if they make their way to Earth for us. It's not always a bad thing. That's all I was going to say.
Are you true. That's not too creepy.
No,
it's
pretty
creepy.
That's not creepy, but he's also acting like it's a real world thing. He's using this as a teaching moment.
Wait, I thought we were talking about this was a documentary on CBS that I saw last Monday night. I thought it was such good news.
She's never coming back on.
All right. 8 o'clock Monday nights on CBS for the rest of all of our lives, Melissa. Keep making great Supergirl shows. We're very excited we got a chance to talk to you. I hope at some point you have some time. You come in and spend some time in studio so we can talk some more with you.
I would love that. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks for coming on. Have fun. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Congratulations to our Disneyland Deluxe Annual Passport winner, Edwin Rodriguez from Los Angeles. Keep listening for your chance to win.
All the details at KRock.com. So yesterday, it was Sunday. That means, like all God-fearing Americans, we were all watching television to see the football, to see the professional football on our TVs. And I got to tell you, there's something going on with the quality of the announcing on the broadcast these days, Kevin. I don't know if you noticed a real downward spiral. Remember how great it used to be? Where's the John Madden of today? That's what I want to know. I'm watching the Arizona-Cleveland Browns game yesterday, and I hear this voice.
Well, it was 20 unanswered for the Browns when they took a 20-7 lead. And it has been all Arizona Cardinals since. 24 unanswered in response as they have an 11-point
I'm listening to this guy, whatever the hell he's talking about, and I thought, wait a minute, that's Matt Money Smith. We know that dude. What? Call of the game on Fox.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
Matt.
They'll hire anybody.
You were so great.
Oh, thanks, Kevin. I saw your tweet. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
I also texted him during the game, and my daughter's like, what are you doing? He's going to be
paying attention.
No, I said, he'll answer. I promise you he'll answer. And he did. He multitasked like a crazy man.
Yeah, I have texted Matt while he's doing his show with Petros in the afternoon, and while he's talking on the air, he'll text me back sometimes. Yeah. I mean, it's remarkable that he's able to do that. So, Money, this was first time you've done a national pro game, right?
National televised pro game. Yeah, I've been doing radio NFL games nationally. You know, the syndicated feed for I don't know, probably four or five years now. I've done a couple college TV games on the Pac-12 network, but. Certainly this is different. You know, there's only six games going on in the morning, and I ended up, you know, on Fox, and I ended up having one of them. So
how did you get the call? How did the news come down? Were you filling in for somebody?
Yeah, because, you know, Joe Buck is on the World Series, so everything goes up one. Tom Brenneman moves up from Team 2 to Team 1 to do it with Troy Aikman for America's Game of the Week, the Cowboys and Seahawks, and then everybody just kind of ascends. And then they have to fill in who was originally in that sixth spot. And I believe I think it was Joe Davis, who does a great job on college play-by-play, just couldn't get there, could not figure out, because he was calling a college game, I think in Kansas, and they just could not get him to Cleveland in time. So they, you know, Jacob Ullman, who runs the show over there with all the football games, gave me a call. And thankfully, I had the week off of my radio call. It was one of my off weeks, and we put it together.
So you only had a few days' notice for this game?
About a week. Yeah, okay. About a week notice.
Because this is what Kevin was wondering, is how familiar is Matt, although he, you know, talks sports for a living and follows all the teams, the ins and outs for a broadcast, the amount of information you have to know about the teams and those players, like how familiar were you with the Cardinals and with the Browns?
Cardinals vary. I think in the last 2 years, I've probably done 10 of their games on the radio, so that wasn't too hard. The Browns, though, I think I was only in Cleveland once. I did a Bears-Browns game there like 3 years ago. So a lot of the players have changed. But, You know, the NFL, like just comparatively between the NFL and college, you're looking at like 90 players for a game. It's really tough.
And a lot of Johnsons out there.
How about that? That's for you, Allie McKay.
We heard that, Matt.
Like us. I was waiting, too. It's one of those, you know, this is the difference between me and a professional play-by-play man. You know, you find a nugget, like a stat, that you want to figure out how to work in. Like, oh, I hope Larry Fitzgerald catches a touchdown pass so I can mention that he's going to pass Irving Fryer for seventh on the all-time list. You know, let's hope that comes together. For me, I am so hoping that Johnson will tackle a Johnson, mm-hmm. and then the other Johnson will come in so I can say, that's a lot of Johnsons out on the field.
By the way,
that was what I was hoping was going to happen in this game more than anything else.
And when you said that, you nailed it. But who was your color commentator? Because he then jumped on that bandwagon. I was like, nope,
Chris Cooley, calm down.
Yeah, Chris Cooley. Well, he got excited. You know? I mean, Cooley's great. He's a great Twitter follow. He's a very unique personality in the NFL. The Redskins' former tight end. He's still only like 31. He might still end up playing, but. Oh, I could see his face light up when I said it. I was like, yeah, you like that?
Matt,
got more where that came from.
Yeah. I want to ask you a little a professional question here, because I can't even imagine how many things you're juggling in your head and in your headphones and what's in front of you and all the things you have to do and keep straight and still make it sound good and natural on the air like you do. But tell me a little bit about that. Like, what is the setup in terms of information being fed to you? Do you have
a bunch
of people that are just throwing stuff at you all the time? Are people talking in your headphones or what?
So the way it works when you call a game, you have what's called a board. And I like to build my own. So just imagine in front of you, it's a manila folder that I have opened up. And on one side, it's the offense. On the other side, it's the defense. And I just use little Avery mailing labels to have each player's name, numbers, some stats, maybe something interesting I can bring up if it happens. And it's laid out almost how they are on the field, you know. So imagine the offensive line, and right behind that's Carson Palmer if it's the Cardinals. And then on the left side, there's the wide receivers. So I'm looking at that just to see who's on the field, where they're positioned, to make sure I get the call right. Now, on top of that, I've got a spotter, which is a guy who's on my right shoulder who's keeping an eye on the defense, and he's going to tell me who makes the tackle because I want to watch the offense and
now,
I don't see it.
When you say tell you, he points to it? He says it in your headphones?
That name, that sticker on that manila folder in front of me, he points to that.
Got it.
As soon as the tackle's made. So if I can squeeze that in after the tackle and say, tackle made by Frosty Rucker because he saw it was 92. So there's that guy. My left shoulder is a stat guy who's telling me exactly how long the play was. So I'm not speculating at six. He knows that it went for six. Or if it's third down, he'll hand me a card right before the snap that says, you know, the Cardinals are 6 of 8 on third down today. Or if they run on first down, he'll hand me a card that says they've run the ball 6 of 9 times on first down, things like that.
Good Lord.
And then you got a producer in your head that is telling you.
He's actually in your head?
Yes.
Literally, like John Malkovich style.
In
my head.
Crazy.
So in the headphones, the producer's telling you what's coming up. Go to L.A. for a game break. We're going to go to a replay. Chris is going to do the telestrate. You know, there's always something going on. You know, make sure you promote the Fox World Series. And then there's someone behind you, a stage manager, that just shoves a card in your hand, and then you read that. Coming up tonight on Fox, it's 5 of the World Series.
I heard you do that a couple times, too, and it was so seamless. It's just incredible how many different things you're doing at one time. I mean, that's a job very few people can do, Matt.
It's a bit overwhelming. I think that I've done the radio, you know, for so long. At least I have the call part of it down. And I think that's what happens, is the game can really get on top of you. And once it does, and by that I mean, you know, the first play goes off and you feel like you missed it, and now you're trying to reconcile that you've screwed up a play, and they're already in the huddle, and then someone's in your ear saying, promote Empire tonight, look at your bottom right graphic, and you just lose it. And guys just lose it.
I didn't hear 1 second of that, though. I mean, you sounded like you had it all together.
I did have a big screw-up. I blew an extra point. There was a missed extra point. I thought it went through because I was kind of getting ready for the next promo. So, and that's what's funny about this whole extra point thing. They've changed the rule for people that don't know this year. It's now a 33-yard attempt. You know, it used to just be 15 yards, bang, it's through.
Right. Almost
now
together.
Guys are missing it.
Right.
So I just assume that he's going to make the extra point, and I'm on to reading the promo, and in my headset we go to commercial, like, it's not 21, it's 20 because he missed the extra point. And I'm like, mother effing. You know, so I did blow that.
At least you could assume the Browns would lose, though, and know you'd be safe there.
There's that, you know, when they were, and that, it's funny because that's what we were kind of like saying in the booth. It's 20 to 7 or 20 to 10 after the last second field goal at the half. And we're like, here's the great thing. you know Arizona's going to come back.
How hurt was McCowan? He looked like he could barely walk. He was crawling on the field half the time.
He was hurt on Friday, you know, in meetings, you know, and he's like, look, my shoulder is, you know, wait, how long is it going to take for you to get over this shoulder? Oh, February, when I can have surgery on it. In the meanwhile, I'm going to figure it out. He's a great guy. I mean, he really is like one of the, both those quarterbacks, Carson Palmer too, just really good, personable, forthcoming, engaging guys, and he got hammered. I mean, Kevin Minter, the linebacker from Arizona, put his freaking face mask dead into his sternum and knocked him cold. And, you know, that's what football players do, though. You know, they stay in the game, they figure it out, I don't know, rub some Icy Hot on it or Robitussin, whatever, and get back out there.
Or some models, or if that's what it takes.
Exactly.
Matt, is this a dream job for you? I mean, if you could, would you be a full-time TV football play-by-play guy?
It was really cool. It was, and I do love calling. I mean, you know, it's like any job like this, which is the travel and leaving your family for 3 days. It all sucks, but once you get there and that ball goes up in the air, it's amazing. It's like the coolest thing you can do. So it's balancing those two things of, okay, I've got to leave on Friday morning. I'm not going to be home until Sunday night for 17 consecutive weeks. Is that
something I really
want? Tough. So that's, you know, that's the...
But the flip side of that is your entire life have watched guys on TV calling football games, and now you're on the other side of the screen. That's the coolest.
Yeah, it is. It's funny, you know, during the game, you know, while Kevin was texting me, Jimmy sent me an email, and I think it was put perfectly. He said, "You sound great, but it's just so ridiculous listening to you call a game as like a professional announcer."
Right. Same.
He's like, "I can't stop laughing."
But that's how we feel about him hosting a late night talk show too. Right. Is he's still just Jimmy Kimmel?
Right. And I think that's, you know, I would have never guessed that this would have been, because, you know, for people that don't know, I also had a dual career while I was doing Kevin and Bean in the music business, and I thought I was going to be a president of a record label, and, like, I would have never guessed that this is where I would end up, you know, that, like, this would end up being the path that somehow I found myself on, you know, culminating in arguably the most desirable play-by-play job in America, football, you know, Sunday football on a network.
It gets better campaign in real life.
Yeah, that's right. And you didn't have to miss anything with your kids this weekend, so that was good.
Right.
There's nothing going on for kids.
Exactly. There was nothing going on. There were no tears. There were no FaceTime. Like, where are you?
I would ask one more question. Our friend Matt Money Smith, by the way, from the Petrus Money Radio Show. I had a big weekend because I got to see P on the University of Washington Huskies broadcast Saturday night, and then I saw you on the, you know, the football broadcast the next day. Petrus was in Seattle for that game this weekend and blew me off, Matt.
Well,
you tell that bastard when you see him at work today that he's got some splaining to do.
Hold on, Bean. Let's be fair about this. This is partially my fault. Because, you know, Petros on our show is always lamenting that he has no friends. That when we recount our weekends every Monday, we're always talking about what friends we hooked up with and hung out with and what we did. And he's like, I never have that. And he mentioned on Friday, well, Bean's my friend. Bean and I are going to hook up. I said, let me get something straight. Bean invites you out. The best thing that could happen in Bean's mind is that you cancel.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. Because he has zero interest in actually hanging out.
No, he will extend the invite, and he'll be very gracious about it. But best case scenario for Bean is you saying, something came up, and he will do a happy dance.
Well, that's what he did.
Because the first time I came to visit Bean after having not seen him for about 5 years, I walked into his living room, and do you remember what you said to me, Bean?
I remember. Yeah. I remember.
What the F are you doing here?
In his defense, it was a surprise. We'd set it up so that Money knew, and it was a surprise, and Bean didn't.
And he does not like
to be surprised.
Ooh, that's
but you would think you'd get at least a little bit of a warmer welcome, right?
Well, listen, you tell
Pete did the right thing.
I am gunning for him. In fact, I want him on the show tomorrow to explain why he blew me off when I was willing to drive down and have lunch with him, okay?
Yeah, you know what? Here's the great thing, Bean. I'm calling the Niners-Seahawks radio game, which I think is like the 22nd or something.
All right.
So right now, you and I are going to plan like we're going to hook up.
Right.
We're going to have dinner on Saturday night or maybe lunch if I get up there early enough. But then I'm going to let you cancel.
Okay. I can't make it. I know the weekend you're talking about. I can't make it, Matt.
But listen, strange. Great to have you on. Congratulations. Excellent game yesterday. We're so proud of you, Matt. Thanks for talking to us, man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:43.
Hey, Ralph is here with a final look at the Showbiz Beat, but I apologize, Ralph. We forgot to do a giveaway today that we want to do real quick right now, if you'll permit us.
By all means, give.
It's a pair of one-day tickets to the Auto Club NHRA Finals, which are coming up, as you know, the 12th through the 15th at the Auto Club Raceway. Get tickets at nhra.com/tickets. Call now 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20 through 24. You win this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Who's that? Model A. Shouldn't even be in the race.
Yeah, he's going to lose.
Yeah, he's definitely going to lose.
The hell is he thinking? All right, what's going on?
It is Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Martian, number one, again, $11.4 million. Let it take the top slot in the top 10. Goosebumps was second, then followed by Bridge of Spies. Hotel Transylvania 2, Burnt, in its debut weekend, made $5 million. That was good enough to make it number five. The Last Witch Hunter, Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension, Our Brandis Crisis. $3.4 million for the new Sandra Bullock movie made at number 8. Crimson Peak and Steve Jobs were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Sad news for those of us who used to watch Richie and Fonzie and Potsy and Ralph Mouth, Mr. and Mrs. C, Joni, Chachi.
Jenny Piccolo.
I can't help
Leather Tuscadero.
Pinky Tuscadero.
All the Tuscadero family. Al Molinaro, who, of course, was Big Al Delvecchio, owner of Arnold's Drive-In after Arnold left Arnold's Drive-In. I have no idea why they didn't change the name to Al's Drive-In. Mm. He's a bad businessman.
He did change it. He changed it to Big Al's.
Who knows that much about Happy Days?
Happy Days is my favorite show of all time. You guys
know. Then Chachi burnt it down. Remember?
Right.
Did we know that was his favorite show of all time?
I watched the show. I didn't memorize it.
Yeah, it's season 4. They changed the name of it to Big Al.
I knew that.
You two should have a Happy Days off. Not on this show, mind you. Just somewhere else where we don't have to hear you.
Some kind of podcast.
Yeah.
What's going on with Al Molinaro? He's still healthy and happy, right? I hope.
Oh, no.
No, he passed away. The age of 96 over the weekend. Here's the thing, though. It sounded like it didn't even have to happen. His son, Michael, told TMZ that he had bad gallstones and then elected not to have surgery.
What?
And it was the infection caused by those gallstones that actually took his life.
I heard it was, I do have an alert, Google alert on Mr. Molinaro. I heard that it was touch and go for a while as to whether he should have the surgery. They feared at his age, 96, that the anesthesia might be enough to kill him. He was in very poor health, and they decided to not do it.
Yep.
How much information do you have on this story?
It's very sad.
He also famously played Murray the Cop on what show, Kevin? I believe you said earlier it was called Murray the Cop.
Murray the Cop.
Yeah. He was the titular character in Murray the Cop, the TV series. But The Odd Couple actually was the answer. So anyway, 96.
He and...
a long, happy life. So that's
he and Ralph Mouth... started a whole chain of restaurants. They invested in a whole chain of restaurants throughout the Midwest called Big Al.
I am so sorry to everyone listening that I even brought this story up. I apologize. And
Will you shut up?
I will try to refrain from doing so in the future.
Allie and I went there on our first date.
Shut your mouth and shut it and shut up and shut up!
And what else should he do? Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. One of the great rock songs of all time, right?
Absolutely.
Just turned 40 years old. Can you believe that? They were asking Brian May about the creation of that song over there on the BBC, and he said that the entire song came fully formed out of Freddie's head. He wrote all the different parts down on little scraps of paper, including notes, A flat, C sharp, D, these little blocks, and he would put the pieces of paper together, and that's how he wrote the song. They put it like a jigsaw puzzle in front of him. That's how he came up with it.
That is, that's borderline genius to create something like that in your head.
Brian May also said that before Freddie passed, he was the one who gave the final approval for Mike Myers to use the song in the movie Wayne's World. Mike sent a video
of that sequence to Freddie with that music in the background for his approval. That start where they're all banging their heads in the in the car. And Freddie thought it was hilarious. He said he thought it was hysterical, and that's when he gave his blessing for them to use that song, which is one of the most famous examples of that song ever being used in pop culture. So, interesting details about it. There it is now. Here's the song.
Oh, okay.
That's Freddie right there playing out of his butthole.
Can you imagine that in like a dream?
The music was inside him. And he just had to let it out.
Got another 3.5 minutes if you guys want
it. Let him roll.
What killed Freddy, by the way?
A lot of roughage. A lot of fiber.
What do you have to eat to make those high notes?
That is orgasmic.
It is.
Mozart-like. Yeah. It's just pure perfection.
Beautiful.
All the chemicals are bubbling. And all the equation comes out right in the end.
Yep. In the end, right.
Yep. And this is exciting news. Alex Kurtzman and Bob Orsi, two of the key figures in the Star Trek feature film franchise, along with their buddy J.J. Abrams, apparently in talks, already interviewing potential writers for Star Trek the TV series.
Yay!
Rebooting Star Trek as a television series for CBS. Looks like it's finally going to happen. And Geekdom has a... well, they're excited. Let's just say that. Let's just say they're excited right now about that news. Me included. I cannot wait to not only watch that show, but also to be a member of the crew on the new Starship.
Oh, you're on
it? So that's it. Star Trek Into Darkness. I'm going to go see it. Check it out. It's in theaters Friday. I'll see you. Long live and prosper. Over and out.
Right.
I totally messed that up.
Yeah, you did, but still. Yeah. It's always been one of my goals is to be on a Star Trek show. You just have to live long enough. All your dreams come
around.
Keep
believing, Ralph.
Yep. That's what I do.
If they wear leather jackets in space, you are in.
Listen. My personal persona has very little to do with the wide variety of characters I play.
Okay.
In feature films and television productions, such as Bobby.
It's Bobby!
All right, in that particular case, I did wear a leather jacket.
Didn't they just say whatever you have on is perfect?
No,
is
it was the exact opposite, actually.
Oh, okay.
I showed up. And they went to the wardrobe trailer and said, this is what we have in the mind of your character. He's a drunk from the East Coast, and we thought this is how he would dress. And they brought out an exact replica of my leather jacket.
You're like, you know what? Got that covered.
And my pants and my shoes. Everything they had, I already had in my own personal wardrobe. And I said, is that how a drunk from the East Coast would dress?
The answer, yes.
I'm offended, I said. Before I put the clothing on and stepped out and said, whatever you say, please. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Buffer, ring announcer, of course, has that legendary line. Well, you know what it is. I can't say it because he sues people. He's 71. David Schwimmer, of Friends fame, 49 years old today. And rapper Nelly is 41. Remember Nelly's greatest hit?
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
How did that ever get to be a hit?
Good question.
A voice like that. I'd like to hear it as a fart song, please. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, Bean continues his strange imaginary fight with Petros Papadakis.
First of all, it's real. It's
right.
On.
Yeah, it's
second
on.
Of all,
yeah.
Petros just texted me
right.
To apologize
yeah,
for
oh,
not being able to get
fool.
There. He said, I am disappointed
he's
that we didn't get to hug deeply is what he
yeah,
said.
He's
oh, mocking you.
It wasn't disappointing when he was
you.
Blowing me off on Saturday. I'll tell you that.
That's ironic.
You were pepper sprayed.
I'm sorry, what happened?
Talk about that tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And Ralphie May joins us in studio. Very funny comedian. We will see you tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean.